Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. How you living, threes?
I'm all right, brother. How was your weekend? How are you doing?
We were okay. You know, you had fantastic weather Saturday, Sunday, and then yesterday just rained for 12 hours as hard as it can rain. You needed an arc. I've never had a Labor Day like that.
The evening was a little bit like that for us here. Nice little tornado warning out of nowhere. That's always fun.
We like that on a Labor Day weekend.
Although we could. I mean, I was happy because the rain was much needed. Now, I didn't need Noah's Ark. I mean, I don't need to go out there and build something. I felt like I needed to last night.
That's right.
But, you know, what's also great is when you wake up this morning at 4:30 a.m. I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago when I said that my Nest smoke detector went off saying, you know, smoke in the middle of the night. Well, it did it again. And so there's no smoke, okay? But when you're 4:30 and it wakes up the entire house, I got so frustrated because, you know, I was like, okay, I kept, like, pushing cancel and it kept going off. So finally I had to just unscrew, take the batteries out. Like, all right, you're done. Like, you're over with.
Yeah, shut it down.
Yeah. And then plug the batteries back in. Maybe that'll work. Nope. Boom. Smoke. I'm like, so obviously there's a dust or something in there or something got, I don't know, who knows? Maybe a bug flew in there and it's messing with the sun. I have no idea. But when your 3.5-year-old is then fired up, you know, like, oh, let's
start
go.
The day, Dad.
It's morning,
let's
Dad.
Let's go. Start the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I've been up since 4:30, which has been amazing. It's been good. What's also amazing is when you have poison ivy or poison oak and you have two young daughters and they just love to crawl all over you, you know, and tickle you and continue to spread it around your midsection. So two amazing things,
God.
But you know, it could be worse. It could be worse. Boom. You know, go Bucks. Other than that,
it could be worse.
It
could be worse. And in fact, I'm going to give you two words that are among the scariest words in the English language. Septic alarm.
Ooh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
That's where I was yesterday. Now, I had a feeling it was because of the deluge that happened. That somehow, in my mind's eye, I have that somehow connected. So I went out and manually pumped. And it worked. So that was fine. It all worked out just fine.
That's, I feel like that's a all chore working. For the boys, though. I feel like that's one of those. Like,
they're
hey,
not
boys.
Up for that. No, these
Come
guys
on.
Are so soft, dude. I cut down a bunch of trees over the last week, and I was like out there trying stacking logs and trying to keep them out. We cleared a bunch of stuff, and I'm stacking some logs, and like they were out there for like 7 minutes, and be like, can we go in now? Like, you would have lasted like 10 minutes in Montana. You're so soft.
I mean, what's Pop's going to think about that? You know, like, he'd be heartbroken.
Not much.
More than anything.
Yeah, not much. It was a great weekend. It was a surreal weekend, though. I would be lying to say that if it wasn't. And I had a moment last night, and you tell me if you've had this conversation lately. One thing that I realize is that when you do a show like this and you're around sports like we are, like, you're inundated, right? And it's just like anything. Like, there's a silo that this is the most important thing in the world, and for some instances you feel like it is. So I've had, and it happened over the weekend, Sunday and last night, actually, my wife came in, she put the boys to bed, and I was watching BYU Navy, which was all I wanted was a good game, right? And it was, you know, it was anytime you have a triple option team that's down 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, then you think, well, this isn't going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yep.
And so she goes, wait, she goes, is this live? I said, yeah, it's live. She goes, wait a second, they're playing college football? And I go, yeah, they're playing college football. And she goes, well, are the Buckeyes playing? No. In fact, they're not playing, honey. And well, when are they playing? Why aren't they playing? I don't know. I don't know when they're playing. I don't know why they aren't playing. I have no idea. She's like, wait a second. Are you talking about this? Literally every day for the last 45 days, I'm talking about this. It's literally all we're talking about. She's like, well, you never tell me what you talk about on the radio. And it occurred to me that there's probably a huge swath of people out there who are casual Buckeye fans. I realize it's not our audience. Our audience is the hardcore Buckeye fan. But there's a whole bunch of people who all of a sudden it's fall and they go, oh, yeah. Buckeyes are on Saturdays. I'm going to go get my Scarlet and Gray, get my buck nuts around, you know, for the earrings and the all of that stuff. And we're going to do that, put the Buckeyes on, and away we go. And you say, for those people, it just hit them. Wait a second. Everybody else is playing? And then it hit me as I was watching promos on ESPN last night, watching the game, which I watched for about a half. And I'm seeing, oh, Clemson plays next week. Mm-hmm. And North Carolina plays next week. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to Herbie and Reese talk about it, and they're going, because there were other games of the weekend. I would pop in for a second, but none of them really held my attention throughout the weekend. I really wasn't into Memphis or SMU or any of that. It just wasn't. No. It felt kind of like, I don't know, like fake football. That's too strong, but it just, I never paid attention to those schools because they don't impact us. They don't have any effect on us. So yeah. But when I saw Clemson promoed, that one really hit home.
Yeah.
Like, holy hell, Clemson's going to play a game Saturday.
I
don't think there's any stopping them. Now, there's some Big 12 schools that have been canceled and postponed already, like TCU and Bowlesby, the commissioner at the Big 12, says, I think we're going to have a lot of this as it goes on. But Clemson's going to play this weekend, and that is going to be a pretty bitter pill for me to swallow. It really is.
Yeah, and so I think one of the things for myself that was interesting is when you have weather as good as it was this weekend, and you're right, those other games that are on, it dawned on me, like, hold on, no, it was weird at first to not have college football. Like, when you watch game day, you know, and you're like, this is just strange. But then as the weather was perfect, a couple things dawned on me. Two, I will not watch just any football. Even though my love for the game is amazing, I just won't watch any football unless there's some kind of interest as far as, does it affect Ohio State and their national championship hopes? Are there NFL dudes on the roster? Or I'll watch most NFL games. But I will not watch like Memphis and that. I don't think that game doesn't interest me. You know, I tried. I had it on at the barn. We were over there eating pizza, just the four of us, and I was like, I got the bonfire. I'd rather sit out here and watch the sunset than watch this football game. Enjoy this beautiful weather. Two, and then it made me realize, well, this is the issue that LA has, right? And other places around the country. And I'm like, so why? And I started thinking, like, our passion, like, as the weather turns here, like, Saturday's different. But as the weather gets really crappy, like, this fall in Ohio is beautiful. You know that.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the best
MVP.
Seasons. And so, but once it turns, and it starts to get, like, brisk and towards, like, you know, it starts to get a little rainy and all that, you're really going to miss. Because to be honest, I missed the Bucks this weekend, but I was also like, you know what, I'm not changing my schedule to watch any of these games. It's too nice outside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
And I just feel like what COVID has made me is really forget, like, even when with basketball, like, I'll throw basketball on late at night to watch it, but it's like sports were just yanked from us for so long. It's everything is so different still, and it's so weird to even get back in the routine of, okay, this weekly cycle of football being back and all that. It's I don't know. You're right. With like the TCU SMU game was already postponed because of TCU's outbreaks. I think there's going to be plenty more schools that are going to go through the same thing. But you're going to see some of these big schools play. Like when Clemson plays, that's going to burn.
When Alabama plays,
that's going to burn. Yeah. You know, Notre Dame. Heck, when the Cincinnati Bearcats play in the same state as your Buckeyes do, that's gonna hurt. So there are a lot of things that. I think are going to lead you to really miss it, but it didn't really occur this weekend for me yet as far as all that. And I think it will once you see the bigger names transpire. I love how people, I mean, their tweets that you read. By the way, you could sense, like, people already in Columbus and Buckeye fans around the world already have, like, their hater shades on, like, just straight bitterness, and rightfully so.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah, I felt it.
But they take every single comment by anybody so personal now. I mean, the uproar of Dez and Lee saying, do you think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made the right decision? But then people cussing them out online because they went right to covering the SEC and ACC. Gentlemen, that's what they're paid to do. They are paid to cover college football.
They're paid to talk about who's playing.
Yes. So you can say, you know what, I think that the Big Ten made the right decision. And also say, you know what, I get paid to tell my opinion on what I think is going to happen in the SEC this year. And yes, I can say both things. That is possible.
That was the tough thing for me, buddy. You just hit on something that was a little difficult because it's really, and we talk about it in sports, politics, everything, it's really two separate universes we're operating in right now. We're operating in a universe where the Big Ten and Pac-12, but most attention, obviously, to the Big Ten and mm-hmm. of course, primarily the Buckeyes. And you say, wait a second, this isn't good enough to play, and they're out, right?
Yeah.
And so that is a story. It is also a story that the rest of these schools are playing and that they're going to go chase a championship.
No question.
And a Heisman Trophy, if they're able to do it, a Heisman Trophy is probably going to be awarded this year if they can play a certain amount of games. I don't know what the threshold is. Those are both separate. And this is the feeling I felt just personally on, and it hit me last night, really, with all the promos of the games that are coming. Because these games this week, I'm with you. Like I thought for a second, I was just, you know, there was a time in May or April, probably when the weather stunk, when we said, God, any sports, just give me anything. I would have watched it. It's not true anymore. It's not. I wouldn't watch just anything. I'm not watching all this college football that doesn't pertain to us, does not affect us. But it did last night when I saw Clemson promoed, when I saw Carolina promoed, and I went, oh, they're playing. And then I started to get mad. And I started to think to myself, you know what? The only way that this works, the Big Ten sitting this out, the only way it works, and I don't even know if it works then because I don't think a fall season or a winter season is feasible. I don't think it's doable. The only way it works is if the rest of these teams don't play.
Yeah.
Like if Clemson plays four games, then to me it almost feels like the Big Ten stance is a failure.
Absolutely. There's no doubt.
I don't know what the number is. Like, if Clemson plays one, is that a failure? No, probably not. But if they can play four or five games, do you remember back in June where I mean, you and I were talking, my feeling was, let's start practice middle of July. Let's start the games August 7th.
Yes.
And let's try to be done by the end of September.
Yeah.
Like, let's try to be done by the end of September. Get eight games in by the end of September, and we'll see you again in 2021. I thought, God, that might be the best way to do it. Let's get it in and get it out and be done with it and get these games in. Instead, most people did. They either did what the Big Ten did or the SEC and everybody else pushed back. SEC pushed all the way back to the end of September. ACC's going this weekend. So there's a number of games that'll make this a failure. I don't know what that number is, but I'll tell you, I got angry seeing Clemson promoted. I did.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, there's every single thing that you hear online or on TV, you just get more and more confused, right? I mean, you got everything's turned into, and it shouldn't, but everything now just goes so political. You have, I mean, for instance, a vaccine. I'm always going to be out by the election, and then the Democrats, I don't trust it if that's the case. Don't trust the scientists. Don't trust the vaccine. Okay, here we go, over a vaccine.
Yeah.
60%, and it's growing. It's grown. 60% won't trust a vaccine and won't get one now if it comes out before the election. So, okay, all right. I mean, I listened this morning. I'm just, you know, I finally turned it off of Mira Mira, you know, which is a new Disney Junior show that Hayden loves and possibly one of the most frustrating and catchy and annoying theme songs. It'll be stuck in my head all day. But Royal Detective. Anyway, I change it from that to like the, you know, 7 o'clock. So that's what's NBC saying. And it's, you know, coronavirus update, you know, by December, it's supposed to jump, you know, significantly. But okay. So then immediately my brain just goes from there to like, well, then how the hell are they going to do a season in January? Everything's supposed to jump. And then, you know, like, so I just get more confused by the day, and I just get more frustrated. And we're getting to a point where I think the Big Ten, we are here sitting on the 8th of September.
Yeah,
I feel like the Big Ten has to make a decision by this week. If the date October 10th is really an opportunity, if it is realistic, and I'm not sure it is, but if it is, that a decision has to be made this week.
Let's get into that next, because you hit on something that I think is pretty critical in this whole conversation, and that is the Big Ten having to make a decision. Maybe they feel like they already made it. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Constantly interrupting valuable airtime to sell $3 stickers.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. What a business plan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Simultaneously passing the eye test, the smell test, and the ear test.
Huge win.
That's a big win.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Hey, brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need or search and replace windows, check them out at windownation.com. They will take care of you the way that they take care of us. 866-90-NATION on that as well. You said something there that I think strikes a chord. The Big Ten, we feel like the Big Ten owes an answer, right? They may feel like they've already given their answer.
Right.
They may. They may feel like we did this in early August. We chose this. This is why we've chosen this. We're not showing you our work because we don't have to show you our work. We don't answer to you. And we're really happy that the president says that we're on the 1 yard line, but we're not. And we're not going to be. And despite all of the reports that said a vote was happening Friday, it's now Tuesday. And I've seen nothing from
reports.
Anybody.
It wasn't
widespread. Locally, there were. Yeah. There were more than a couple. There was a boat kid who was saying that it was all done and
Sir
that
Yacht?
We were to leave the Big Ten. This kid.
Sir Yacht?
This guy's unbelievable. What
we're
a
going
human.
To the Big 12, right?
God bless that kid.
Or Nebraska's going to the Big 12. We're going to the ACC.
I think when you... The point... And he, you know, maybe he is talking to somebody who's a brother of a
National
uncle,
writers
a
are national writers for a reason, right?
Who
they're not
went
100%.
To 31 but. Flavors and heard it, overheard a conversation. I mean, that could be the case. I don't know. Yeah. So I'm not... I don't know about that, but I think anytime you tweet Ohio State's going to leave the Big Ten next year, you say, well, then you don't know what you're talking about at that point.
Right.
Once that part, because, you know, that's a lot of money that comes in and you're not going to read. I don't know how,
money.
I'm not an economics major, but I don't know how many individually licensed television deals are going to be handed out in the midst of a pandemic. I don't know how many. My guess is not a lot, but I digress. So this was supposed to happen Friday. It didn't. According to some local reports, I've seen nothing from anybody nationally for 5 days on this. Now that doesn't mean that conversations aren't being had. I would say that the time is of the absolute essence. That it has to be this week. Has to be. If there's going to be a change, of course, it has to be this week. I would think, just being around this league as long as I have, that first there would be a straw poll. Are you interested? Yes, I am. Are you interested? Yes, I am. And then there would be an actual vote. And I think what you're hearing from is coaches and athletic directors. We're not hearing from university presidents other than ours and North Nebraska's. So we're not sure what's being held there. We don't know what's being said. They could change course. They could. I'm sure it's a bitter pill to swallow. This weekend was one thing, but just like it was for you and I, it'll be another thing this upcoming weekend when Clemson's playing. That will be tough. That'll be a tough watch.
I wonder what the presidents are thinking, because you feel like for every game that's pulled off, this is another one of the tweets I saw last night. I was like, you mean to tell me if it's safe for the armed forces to play that it's not safe for? I'm like, well, the armed forces doesn't even get select testing for their own troops. You know, they have to go
right.
And stand. They don't stand in line, but they pull up to a, you know. Third-party testing. They don't have. You would think that our Navy and Army and Air Force and Marines would all have kind of testing brought to them, if you will. But
yeah,
not the case. And maybe some forts they are, maybe some bases there are, but not my brother-in-law. That's for sure. since the guy got back in the Navy, or since he's been deployed, he's been in quarantine more often than anything else. I mean, 2 weeks when he got there, then you get to see somebody. 2 weeks again. Anyway, 2 weeks once they got to Spain. For me, Bo, I wonder how they look at this. Do they look at people playing and think, gosh, we screwed up? Or are they patting themselves in the back when they see SMU-TCU postponed? And said, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, we don't know this.
I don't know.
This is kind of like tests you. Like, my gut reaction when I see postponed is like, damn. Like, I don't want to see that. Because I want to see these kids get to play football. And
yes.
Play the sports or soccer or volleyball. I want to see them play the sport that they love because I also know, and Coach Allen or Coach Ryan posted this from the wrestling coach. He basically said, you know, he put up how much overdoses are up and mental health is struggling mm-hmm. from just this whole COVID outbreak. So there's a lot of stuff to where, like, I want for these kids, like our own babysitter has to wait till this week to find out if she's going to be able to go to Miami University. They haven't even told them yet. They basically postponed when they could report as freshmen, and they basically said, well, we'll announce it on Wednesday. Like, well, what are you waiting to find out till Wednesday? Is there a check clearing somewhere? You know, like, that's my first reaction when it comes to that. I want a fall season. And because I see what this does to young people, and I can't imagine being in that position of losing out on not only just the social interactions with friends and the like, but just the sport that you love, like the one thing that you love to do, not being able to do it, especially when you've put so much time and effort into it. But there is some people who are like, well, I don't want anyone to play. You know, and I don't fault you for that. I'm not that guy either. But there are people who are like, I don't want anyone to play. I want, you know, because I don't want to see Clemson host a national championship and have the Buckeyes not be able to, you know, have a say in it. Okay, I'm not that way. I want those kids, and I want, you know, and it's not that it's saying that I want the Big Ten to sit there and revel in their misery. Because look, what if there's a massive. There's just so much confusion as far as like, what if, and this is, we've already said this is so geographic. I just think it goes back to the same thing. The way they handled it, they botched it. They had time to postpone, and by postpone, push back 2 weeks. Okay, you know what? We're not ready. Another 2 weeks. Okay, I think we're okay. You know, we'll allow, you know, contact in practice. We'll allow full pad practicing, all that. But the more you just try to search for answers, and you have to be really, what this has taught you too, is you have to be really careful on who you pay attention to on the line. Because you're right, there are so many people that were dead set that a vote was happening Friday. And as if you pay attention to scores and listen to this show, like we were like, well, it's not really being reported anywhere but here. And then as the day went on, right, what'd you get? You got the chancellor at Nebraska saying, no, not to my knowledge. And they're one of the teams that would be for it. You have Iowa's AD, a team that'd be for it, saying October 10th is unrealistic. It's tough. Like there's the indecision stinks, but they're up against it as far as there's a deadline and when they're gonna have to make a choice. Harbaugh said 2 weeks. I'm not sure every school feels that way. I'm not sure the Big Ten's going to. We've talked about this, letting teams that want to play go play. I'm not sure the Big Ten's going to let that happen.
There's a lot of obstacles too that they're it's not for them it's not just a return to play. It's this idea of one, you know, by random chances, this is what they fear. There's a lot of what they fear, but amateurism is a part of it. Liability is an enormous part of it. I think that's the number one thing is the liability of it all.
If some
kid has a pre-existing condition that they weren't aware of and ends up on a ventilator and sues the school, that's what this is about. It's about all of those things. And they are willing, the rest of these conferences, I mean, think about, just so you guys understand, because I know we all want our football, understand what Carolina's doing this weekend. Carolina sent their students home.
Yeah.
They're going to play football.
Yep.
I mean, that's going to open up, that opens up a class action type lawsuit that's going to come quickly. And maybe they're fine with it. They could be fine with it. It might be. I know for a fact that there are certain schools in that league that can't not have football or their athletic departments will sink.
Yeah.
That's a big league. And there are people that I know that say if they don't play football, they have no athletic department, that it sinks. That's how tight the margins are. So maybe that is why they're playing. It doesn't matter why they're playing. All I know is I'm angry that they are.
Oh, you heard Saban.
I wish we were.
Saban said it's for the players. It's not for money, Bo.
It can be both.
I'm just being facetious.
I know you are. But I mean, like,
just poking the bear.
It can be both. It can be, yes, we want
not
to
in today's world,
for
it can't be both.
Kids.
Can't be
know,
both.
No,
you can't be reasonable in today's world, Bo.
I'll tell you what we're gonna do coming up next. Is there a time frame, is there a date on the calendar where you could still play a certain amount of games and play for what matters most here? And can Ohio State flex their muscles big enough to get that done? We get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
You think that during a 3-hour radio show, man and bone.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Would say something intelligent, you'd be wrong. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis' What's Up.
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday, short week Tuesday edition.
Yeah. What, love the short week. Love
yeah,
the short
it's nice.
Week.
It makes
I love waking
for Friday
up thinking,
all the
oh, it's a Monday.
No,
and then you're like,
not.
Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's Tuesday. No.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a great win.
That's right. What would be the date on the calendar where it would be enough to satisfy the Big Ten presidents from the standpoint of they would say, okay, we chose to make the right decision, be cautious, and they could save some face? Because I think that's part of this too, right? Is we were right, we know we're right. I don't think it's after Thanksgiving. I don't think that solves anything. And I don't understand that at all. I guess the idea would be then you could hide from the fact that students aren't on campus, and that's how you could do it, and you could get around it that way. You know that many of these presidents had a problem with that. If you think back, guys, remember back in July and August where there were presidents, I think it was the Michigan president who said, look, if there's no students on campus, there's no football. Pretty sure he's the one who said that. That was in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, North Carolina's living that right now. They're saying you're...
They're living it.
Yeah,
so I wonder if that's why they're thinking...
We are actually socially distancing better than you because we have no students on campus.
Is Carolina's in the league of Michigan, isn't it, from an academic standpoint?
Yes.
Carolina's
although
a really
they don't
school.
Think any... Because, I mean, they say they're the leaders and best, right? Is that what their song says?
Yeah, something like that. But I think Carolina is
on
that
level. How about
that
SI article I sent you?
How about
that? A little birdie told me.
Well, this is what's happening.
When I took journalism, I don't think you could start. This is the real, honestly.
But that's the
if you
problem.
Were in high school journalism
Sports
today,
Illustrated. It's
I
not
know,
SI.
If you were in high school journalism today, could you start an article with "A little birdie told me"?
No, of course not.
It's no, you couldn't.
It was a fanboy blog. It's a fanboy blog. No, of course not. It's not that at all. But that what happened is SI is an SI. It's not. It's not Sports Illustrated anymore. It's not what it used to be. Now, there's probably some people who are still, you know, from that ilk, but the vast majority, they farmed them out to these, you know, these blogs, and that's and people, these independent people that are writing, and they're paying them next to nothing to do it. And that's what SI has become, and that's how that article, which you sent me, gets published, where the first line is, folks, you haven't read this. A little birdie told me. No, that's not. That's not appropriate.
No.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
No.
That's what Yacht Kid does. You can't do that.
Sir
you can't
Yacht?
Do that. Yeah, you
what's
can't
his actual
have that.
Handle? I got to find his actual number.
I don't know.
Too.
He's funny. His rants are funny, though. I will give him that. But he's gained about he's 100% more his followers in the last week on all this Big Ten stuff. But I so it. I think
no,
maybe that's
Sir
what
Yacht.
The late November thing does. Is it allows for them to hide under the students aren't here, and that's how we can essentially do a bubble, is play without students on campus during that time. That's probably it. But that's not going to cut it, because you're not going to get to play for the national title. So any sort of alignment with the Pac-12 is nonsense if Clemson, Alabama, LSU, Georgia are playing for the national title. It's just not going to work, man.
So the other teams are playing their title games the 19th of December, correct? Is that what do I have that right, that they've enabled themselves to push it back that far if necessary, the 19th of December? So I'm doing like a last possible date, because you're not going to play it the 26th, the day after Christmas. That's not happening. You're not going to play it on the 2nd of January. So let's just say the 19th of December is the last that you could actually play a game, a Big Ten title game. So I'm assuming if you want to play 8 games, I'm going to say that 7 would be the threshold for me. So 6 conference games, conference-only schedule, and then a Big Ten title game if you want. Or just say no Big Ten title game and play 8 straight games or whatever. But if you do that, if you do 8 straight weeks up to the 19th, that gets you to October 24th. And that's with no week for, say, there's an outbreak and we have to cancel or push back or move. Okay,
and so that has no flexibility. You playing through December 19th?
Yes. So
with
October
no
24th would be week 1, the 31st would be week 2, 7th, 3, 14th, 21st, 28th, 5th, 12th, and then 19th being the title game. So that's if you want 8 games with the title game, okay? If you want to do 6, okay, then you can push back maybe to November 7th or maybe Halloween. But my gut is, does a 7-0 Big Ten champ win an eye test over a 9-1 Notre Dame? Like, those are all conversations. Like, you got to have the conversation.
If it's us, it does. I think if it's us, it would. And Justin Fields is playing, and Sean Wade's playing, and Chris Olave's playing, then yes, I think it would.
Well, Mike and Davis, but I think we're also making the assumption that we win like we did last year, right?
If
all these games are close and there's no vibe, and this is a 2015 vibe, the eye test has to win every Saturday, which I think it will.
One thing I've learned, though, in being around this program as long as I have, that the benefit of the doubt will always be given to us. I mean, probably once, wasn't it? But almost every other time
Alabama.
We get the
Alabama over us. Yeah.
Yeah. But
if it's between us and Bama, it's going to Bama.
Yeah, because in the playoff, Bama has shown out.
Yeah.
Like when they've let them in, they've never embarrassed the committee. Ever. Right. So, yeah, Alabama has shown out. So that there's a trust factor. But we will get the benefit of we get the benefit of the doubt over a Big 12 team. We get the benefit of the doubt over everybody except Bama and probably Clemson.
Yep.
Everybody else we get the benefit of the doubt over. So, if we're 7-0, yeah, I think we'd go. I do. So I think, you know, that's probably
so Halloween.
What you did right there is tells you like where you need to go if you're going to try to play sometime other than next semester. If you're going to try to do that, then it's probably mid to late October is it. In terms of like October 10th or whatever the date is, that's got to be now. That would have to start now.
Right. And Harbaugh can say, like, look, he only needs 2 weeks. I guess you could. But these guys haven't
well,
even
gotta
put
start
pads
over,
on
right?
yet.
You got to start over, too, because they've been off campus or they've been around. So you're going to have to do the quarantining. You're going to have to do the testing. You're going to have to do all of that stuff right away.
Well, not, now, these some tests of these teams have been on, have still been going. Like Ohio State's still been going. So they have all that necessary for them. But not everybody has.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing is We're not all created equal here. And that's been the underlying thing about the Big Ten. The thing that I've gained the most from is, well, it's hard outside of the obvious that there's very poor leadership in the conference, at the heads of the conference. But for me, the thing that I've learned the absolute most from is the fact that it's basically Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, and then probably everybody else.
And Penn State's probably knocking on the door, but everybody else is distant. We got that from Jay last week, but they voted no. Yeah. But again, the fact that we're this far along and they haven't been saying, we voted no and here's why, is alarming. That's very alarming to me. And
it's alarming. I would love to hear the conversations between Sandy Barber and their president, because she came out and said, basically, I was told there wasn't even a vote. So their president, instead of just saying to her face to face, hey, you know, by the way, sorry, I voted this way. You know, this was the best interest of our student athletes. Said, we didn't really have a vote.
Yeah. The truth lies somewhere. I don't know if we'll ever hear it. One guy who's smarter than me on this and most things is Doug LaMaurice. He'll join us coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Always
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Dated, never duplicated. Your heritage sports talker and flagship home for Ohio State athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Pushing the limit of how many times you can say the word thing in one show.
That's the next thing.
That is the next thing.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's head on to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Our good buddy Doug LaMaurice, Cleveland.com, joining us. Doug, my youngest son, who I call Bootsy, he tends to lie a lot. So what I'll say to him is Bootsy, what's the real truth? And then he feels obligated to tell me the real truth. And so I will put that to you, my friend. Where the Big Ten is concerned, what's the real truth?
Oh, man. This is my guess at the real truth. My guess at the real truth is that we know Barry Alvarez is leading a return to competition committee that is gathering information about the latest medical stuff, and that they at some point have to have a discussion about when they're going to try to play football, because they don't have a plan that they've announced at this point. So that is happening. Barry Alvarez has talked about that. And we know that there are lots of plans out there, and they have to pick one at some point. So we know they have to decide something, and so I think it's possible when it comes time to make that decision that maybe, you know, depending what the medical stuff says, maybe October football will be one of the options that they put out there. And then so whatever a revote is or whatever kind of the next decision is, they do have to make a decision. So I think they're gathering information. They will have another decision to make, and then they'll pick between maybe something in October, maybe something at Thanksgiving, or maybe something in January. But I don't know that I don't know what the timetable is on that, because I think their timetable is when they're ready to make a decision, and I don't know that they're going to be pushed by anything other than when all the information is gathered.
Doug, do you feel like this is going to be strictly a science decision, the medical data, or do you feel like some could be public perception, some could be, hey, we saw games being played over the last two weekends. We also saw one being postponed in TCU-SMU because of tests of people testing positive. We saw numbers at different universities of a lot of people, basically not being able to practice. I think Tennessee canceled their scrimmage, right, with 40-something guys with contact tracing, right, and all that. Do you think it's just purely medical at this point, or do you think they have it in them to be purely medical, or do you think there will be some – gosh, there's a lot of pressure from, a lot of people yelling online and stuff. I'm just wondering, do you think it is just purely, hey, let's gather more data? And by data, I mean, medical info, or is it data that includes all the rest?
Yeah, I don't think it's purely medical for anybody. I think it's all the balance, right? You put everything on the scale. I don't really think it's that pressure really will factor in all that much. That obviously they know it. They know that people are upset. But I do think, James, what you're talking about with, I think they will watch what is happening with other football teams. And that is different than pressure, I think. That's still information. Yeah. Well, these teams played. How did it go after their game? Did they have a bunch of positives? No, they didn't. They could play. That's a good sign. Other teams are pushing games back. They're having to delay games. How does that factor in? Okay, it can be hard to make it happen. I do think they want to include all that information that you have to learn from the people who are playing. And I know there's the lawsuit from Nebraska players, and I know obviously there are people who are upset, but I think university presidents are accustomed to people being upset with them for different things, right? I mean, when you're in charge of stuff, there are often people that are not happy. I just think it will be observing how other teams are handling it, the latest medical information, and you have to take, what people think, not the public, but players, coaches, parents, that's who matters. Fans, they can't worry about that. But I don't think that will factor in very much. I think it'll be observing how other football programs are operating and what is the latest medical information they're getting.
Doug, one thing I learned, and you kind of got us thinking about this a couple of weeks ago on when you said, how many teams in this league are playing for a national championship every week the way that we are. And it got me thinking about the bigger picture, because we live in the Columbus, echo chamber, and here it's been outraged for 6 weeks, right? But I don't know if that's the case around the league. And one thing that we've learned, we had Jay Layman on, we've had people from other parts of the league around, and they're like, yeah, I don't know that there is this big cry to play in other parts of this league. And it kind of reinforce something that and you and I used to talk about this all the time, but how much do we really have in common with the rest of the teams in this league? And I don't know that there's that much, that maybe it's us, Nebraska and Iowa are kind of on an island.
Yeah. I mean, and then maybe you throw Penn State in there, maybe, but you're not sure, Penn State didn't vote to play the first time around, but I think that's true. And the thing I've been saying, it's Ohio State really tries to walk the line in a lot of ways, and I do think they are more really, from a football standpoint, they're an SEC team in the North, and that's great in a lot of ways. But then we know what the sort of the perception is around the SEC and what a lot of Big Ten fans and Ohio State fans think about the SEC most of the time. And so it's like, well, do you want to be in the SEC? Is that what you want? You like it now because the SEC is playing and you wish you were playing. But a lot of times Ohio State fans like that they're not in the SEC because they're as good as the SEC teams at football, but yet they feel like they're not really exactly like them, whatever that means. And I think we've talked about that. We know what that means, what that perception is. So a lot of the times I think Ohio State likes that they're in with other schools like this, that you think about things the same way. But then when you get on the football field, man, Ohio State doesn't look like Purdue and Rutgers and Maryland and Indiana and Minnesota. And they look like Alabama and Clemson and LSU and Georgia. So I think a lot of times it's great to live in both worlds. Right now, it's hard to live in both worlds because one of the worlds is probably holding you back maybe from taking part in the other world. but most of the time, Ohio State does a great time of living two almost kind of separate lives at the same time.
Doug, Bo and I have been discussing, what is the last possible date you think they need to make a decision? And what I mean by that is, like, how many games do you think they have to play in order to get in the college football playoff? Because ultimately, that's what I'm interested in. Like, a November season, it'd be great to see the future at quarterback and all these positions and to see the future of our program. I'll watch. But ultimately, you come to Ohio State to win national championships and to play for them. So how many games do you think that they could play and get by on a quote-unquote eye test to where the timing works out to still make the college football playoff? And what's that date? What date is that for you on the calendar?
So I don't want to act like I know better than coaches. I know Jim Harbaugh says they could play in 2 weeks. I know Scott Frost said they can play in 3 weeks. It sure feels like, though, you need a month of camp, right? I mean, you'd almost be starting over. I know they're doing the late practices right now, but it just seems hard to me, or potentially, maybe not dangerous, but a little risky to try to put these guys, just from a normal injury standpoint, a normal preparation standpoint. And even the idea of, we saw what happened with Navy last night. I mean, yeah, they weren't ready to play. They didn't tackle in practice, right? I mean, that's not good for anybody. That you got to allow yourself to practice and be ready. So to me, you got to take a month. So if people have been throwing out an October 10th deadline, man, we're running up right on that. Like, you better get ready to go now. So I think that would be hard. And then, I don't know, I mean, to me, if you play your six division opponents in a Big Ten championship game, and that's seven games, I think you still show who you are, right? I mean, and here's the thing. Ohio State has played full seasons and been awesome and been a champion and not made the playoffs. So we can't pretend that we don't live in a world where the best of Ohio State always gets them in the playoff anyway. But I think if you could play, forget the cross-division games. Nobody's playing real non-conference games anyway. Play your division, play the best team from the West in the championship game, and say, here's who we are. So maybe if you had seven weekends and you give yourself a month run-up, you know, that still allows you, you're still a couple weeks away from having to start, I think, if you would put together a plan like that.
Doug, last one. I'll get you out of here on this. 30 seconds or less. I won't hold you to it. What's your best guess on what their decision will be? What's your best guess?
I think it's too hard to turn the boat to get it ready for October. That it's not, you're not turning a motorcycle, you're not turning a car, you're turning a boat. It's not, everything that's happening is not positive, right? There's some good signs. Teams are playing. There's some tough signs. Things are being delayed. I think they probably end up choosing between something more like November or January, and maybe they try to go and do something in late November. I'd be happy to be wrong. I don't know. I certainly do not know.
Yeah.
But I just don't want people to have their expectations too high. I just think October would be difficult.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. Doug Lamarise, Cleveland.com. Good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll hit the NFL. It is game week coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The Fan.
Top shelf conversation from top shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
NFL is on. 2 days from today, we're on, man.
Sure is,
Chiefs,
baby.
Chiefs and Texans.
Sure is.
Are you ready for some
game
football?
Game week.
I don't know if it's just like the not having college football, you know, in terms of the Power Five. It just feels weird to me. It's almost like I'll believe it when I see it. I'll acknowledge I was immediately into the NHL because we had a vested interest in the Blue Jackets. It took me longer in the NBA. I'm all in now. I'm loving these games at night. I'll have them on, you know, as you prepare for bed or whatever. After I get the boys to bed, I'll watch the games. I think I'm going to be pretty jacked up for the NFL. I got a fantasy draft tonight. I think I'm going to be pretty jacked up for the NFL.
Fantasy, so, I see you.
Oh, sure, yeah. But I don't know. It feels strange that we're going to play NFL games this week to me.
I don't think that's I don't think you're alone in that statement. I think it feels strange for me, certainly. When I look around and I see you know, your Bucks aren't playing and you're used to kind of have a normal flow.
Is that it?
All of our schedules. I think just all of our schedules in general are off. Like the fact that September 8th, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah,
you
know?
Our schools, like I saw, like seeing the school bus last week was like foreign. I was like, oh, shoot. Like by the time the girls go back to school tomorrow, it'll be 180 days exactly since Shelley held them out. Because, you know, the rumors were coming out that DeWine was going to cancel school, you know, anyway. So she's like, well, if he's going to cancel on Monday, why would I send him on Friday? How's it any safer today?
Right.
You know, so she decided to keep him home. Looking back, she jokes, you know, maybe she should have just sent him until that Monday. You know, that extra day would have helped.
Actually, it would have been huge.
It would have been massive for us. But, yeah, I think that's just kind of where we're at, man, is I think our schedules overall are just – there's a new normal that's kind of happening, and that new normal has absolutely no routine to it yet.
No.
So you're trying to figure out what is this new routine, this new air quote, you know, normal, if you will, and nobody really knows, right?
I mean,
you're trying to figure it out, but it's...
Yeah. I'll be curious.
Wild.
See what this weekend does
for
the NFL.
I'll definitely watch.
I can't wait for Thursday. I look forward to it incredibly. But I am curious. And we're on a division a day. So today we are on the AFC South. This division as a whole is, I think it's the worst division in football. I don't think there's a Super Bowl champion. The two best teams we're going to talk about first. I like all these rosters, but all of them have little things
that I
don't love.
The South is worse than the NFC East.
No, I'm sorry. Mistake.
Okay.
Mistake. Thank you for catching me on that. Ran away with my hyperbole. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have that. You're right.
All right.
Correct.
All right. I wanted to make sure.
I was being hyperbolic right out of the gates. Not that bad.
It's okay.
It is not that bad. That one is the worst. This one, though, I don't see a Super Bowl champion anywhere here. The two teams that have the best chance we'll talk about first, although I love the Colts roster. I just don't know if I believe Phillip Rivers. We'll get into that in a second. Titans first, then the Texans, and then we'll get to the Colts and the Jaguars, who are clearly tanking. The Titans were the Cinderella story a year ago. And I'll never forget them playing Cleveland in the opener and just bullying them.
Mm-hmm.
They completely bullied them. They mocked them. Cleveland was incredibly disorganized and undisciplined with the 18 penalties. There were 22, four more that were disallowed. But there was something to the toughness of them. And at that point, they were playing Mariota. So it wasn't even to the point where Tannehill took off and was one of the most efficient players in all of football. But
right.
What you say is was that real?
Right.
Was what we saw from Ryan Tannehill real? If it's real, then this is a team that's built for sustained success. They got Clowney over the weekend, so they can add that to their pass rush as well. They're a team that looks pretty good top to bottom. It just comes down to if you believe in Tannehill, and I don't know that I do.
I don't know if I do either. The guys there are all dead set on him. I mean, right? They believe that guy
is...
They love him. I remember when even the Brady stuff was happening, some guys were kind of a little nervous, like, well, I don't want to mess up our mojo. Like, things started kind of happening because of Tannehill. So there's a deep belief in Ryan Tannehill there. I'm with you. There's a couple things. Not only that, like, how many times in NFL history, and you are older and wiser than I am, how many times in NFL history have you seen rushing attacks that are elite like that be sustained for multiple seasons? It seems like when a Jamal Lewis type season comes around, right, or a Derrick Henry last year, or DeMarco Murray, it's a one hit, like, dang, it hit us. And I don't know if it's the fact of the wear and tear of the running back during that year. I don't know if there's a lot of factors that go into that, right? Some of it is shock and awe, just the surprise of it happening. Some of it is like great cohesion on the offensive line and health, good fortune with health. Freshness of the running back. So to do it again a second year, you have to have that same health for that whole offensive line to gel in the exact same way. You lose the shock and awe because now everybody knows. And look, there's still some teams that no matter what, you're going to line up and say, we know we have to, like, every team's going to go into this saying, we have to stop Derrick Henry, right? We cannot let them have a lead or even close to the within one score by the time that fourth quarter hits because they're going to get in 4-minute mode. We're going to be sore, and we already know what that looks like. But they won't be able to stop it. Right, I mean, we went in the most games. Like, okay, we have to stop Marshawn Lynch. Okay, we can't let Beast Mode get going. Blah blah. Okay, that sounds great on paper, right? That the plan sounds awesome, Coach. Can't wait to try to execute it. But the reality is that it's a lot harder to do on the field. So, every team's going to have that. Can you have that same success running the football? You look at this. I mean, they have. I mean, Corey Davis, AJ Brown on the outside. Okay,
yeah,
I love it. I love their offensive line. I love Humphreys in the slot, tailback. I mean, I like everything that they are working with. Their defense just got a whole heck of a lot better with Jadeveon Clowney on the outside. Although you got rid of Jarrell Casey on the middle, who was elite. Elite. That was a shocking trade in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. They must think Simmons is ready to do that.
Yep, no doubt. So there's a lot there that I love about this team. But Ryan Tannehill, you got to convince me that Ryan Tannehill is that guy now. That's a tough thing for me. And I know they flirted with Brady. I mean, teams that you would have never thought were going to flirted with Brady, like the Niners, and then admitted it, which makes no sense. But I don't know, Bo. If they had a different guy at quarterback, and I'm not even sure who, you know, like I'm not even sure who, but you had somebody else, maybe you're saying, okay, yeah, I got a little more faith in the Titans, but.
Let's go to the other team because when we talk about Tannehill, you say if it was anybody else at quarterback, even though he played incredibly well last year, and I'm with you, I don't trust it either. You look at Houston, you say if there was anybody else who's the coach/GM.
No doubt.
Because they have the quarterback.
Okay, so imagine Deshaun Watson is on that team.
Right. If Deshaun Watson's on the Tennessee Titans, what does that look like? I mean, to me, that's what it comes down to.
That's them and Chiefs.
That's what I think, too.
AFC Championship game and just pen that in.
Book it. Yeah. And a lot of people think that Houston may get there anyway. I look at them, and I see a roster that I don't understand. I don't understand. Like, 3 years ago, Brandon Cooks and David Johnson, okay. But not now. Mm-hmm. Not now. It's been a while. So I don't know what they're doing. Their running back situation behind, it's Johnson, and then Duke Johnson's behind him. They really didn't address it. They go Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks on the outside. Cooks is you played with him, a teammate of yours, great dude, but I don't know that he's what he was anymore, and he's on about his fifth team. Yeah. And then it's Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb behind that. Fells is great at tight end, and that'll help them a lot in terms of I think he'll continue to go for them and grow. But beyond that, I just don't understand what they've done with this roster here.
So a year ago when I did the game for them against the Chiefs, there was a stat that they had in their program that was alarming, that when Will Fuller was on the field with DeAndre Hopkins, the production of both of them was through the roof because Will Fuller brings a different dimension. So now you don't have – so I know Will Fuller is a really good wide receiver. Problem is he has – I mean, habitual soft tissue issues. So that's not something that just goes away. Like, he's high strung, obviously, and I'm assuming that he's tried to do all the remedies and all the modalities and stuff that they have, you know, hydrate, all this, that, whatever. But in reality, some guys just are a little more high strung, right? They have a little bit harder of a time. Brandon Cooks is so different from DeAndre Hopkins. So different. Like, DeAndre is, I'm going to beat you up at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to battle you, and I'm going to wear you down, and I have the most unbelievable hands in the world. Brandon Cooks is a straight, just speed train, like missile. He's going to go routes, sevens, he can catch crossers, and he can go. Like, so you have two burners, but one of the guys that you had in DeAndre Hopkins was big body, throw the ball anywhere for, you know, Deshaun Watson, and I'll catch it. You know, big radius. Brandon Cooks is not a big catch radius guy. So that's going to make, just by the sheer size, Deshaun Watson's job a little bit tougher. Mm-hmm. Now, you look at their defense, you're like, I love Whitney Merciless. Zach Cunningham's a really good linebacker. So is McKinney. But what is J.J. Watt? He's certainly not what he used to be. You know, can he stay healthy? I love Roby and Hargraves on the outside. But you're right, their roster, the fact that you said they're just a mishmash, it's probably the best description for them because I really don't understand. It doesn't add up. It just seems.
If you think of when they.
It seems like a kid playing Madden and being like, oh, they were good.
That's what I think.
You know, it's like Black Cobra on the Madden machine. Just being like, well, they were. Right. David Johnson's still good, right? Well, buddy, but, it was a couple of years ago.
It's been a couple of years, man. I don't understand. The idea that this team drafted Clowney, Watt, Deshaun, DeAndre, all of those guys. And they couldn't turn it into anything more. They couldn't get all the way through. is probably pretty damn frustrating because they hit on a lot of those guys. But because of health with Watt and various things that happened, they never were able to see it kind of to the to being a Super Bowl. I never felt like they were a Super Bowl contender. And usually when you hit on that many things, you should be. When you hit on no defensive doubt. Ends and quarterbacks and all that, you should be a Super Bowl contender at some point. And they were never quite there. Let's hit the categories quickly on this one, Bode. Could you live or vacation in Nashville and Houston? You have.
Have lived there. Have thought about moving back there. Yeah, I could live in Nashville. It's great. No income tax is a huge win. Property taxes are astonishingly low. But you'll make up for what you save in property taxes with paying for private schools, which are extremely competitive and expensive, starting at kindergarten. You know, this isn't just private school for high school. This is all the way. Yeah. But you could definitely live there. Houston, not a chance. I don't want to think too. Houston is a larger New Orleans. It's the same temperature.
That's right.
It's just hard pass. And you know my feelings on New Orleans.
I
almost died. That's the only time I've almost died in a football practice was in Houston, in camp.
Houston,
that year. Yep. I mean, after the practice, we were trying to take a picture. Me, like John Simon, Braxton, Vaughn, Mike, you know, the Buckeyes in practice there. And I was like, no, bro. Like, I need an oxygen tank.
No on Houston. Yes on Nashville. You can do both, obviously. Do we like their QBs? You love one. Tannehill, I don't know.
I love Deshaun Watson. Ryan Tannehill, I like. I try to remember that he was doing pretty good in Miami before he got hurt.
He does when he plays. Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, but
he's better
you just
than
wonder,
you remember.
Is Crazy Eyes the one that really ruined Tannehill's reputation around fandom? Think about it. Like, Gase moved on from him and went with Cutler because he got hurt. And then people kind of wrote him off as a bust. And I'm like, well, maybe he isn't a bust. Maybe he's actually a good player and just had the unfortunate injury and then Crazy Eyes ruined his reputation. I don't know. I like him. I don't love him.
Yep. All right. Super Bowl playoff, ascending, road to nowhere, tank.
Well, I think I'll put playoff for both. They both feel they're playoff teams.
Yep.
If you're the Titans, I think that you probably believe you're a Super Bowl contender.
I think Houston probably does, too.
They probably Well, there's no doubt Bill O'Brien thinks he is. I don't.
Yep.
As long as he's head coach, I can never put them as a Super Bowl contender in my brain.
I agree. Yeah. That's. I think both of these teams are playoff. Both of them think that they're Super Bowl. This division may allow for it, but we're going to get into another team that you look at their roster very.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. A few holes, maybe the fewest of all in this division. That's the Colts, with the Colts and the Jaguars coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. Just freak the hell out of someone. The Fan. Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. I tell you what, the people at Germain Toyota of Columbus are just simply the best. Let me read a little testimonial for you, if you don't mind. Asher was my salesman. I can't say enough good things about him and the Germain team. I mean, everyone I encountered was helpful and super nice. I don't know what they do there, but I wish my job was that nice. Thanks for everything, and I'm forever a Germain customer. It's that way because of the GM, Rich Newsom. He leads. He's the man from the top. He's a great guy. Hence, everyone he hires is the same. They love to serve you and want to give you the best deal possible. Go check them out online, germaintoyota.net, or in person, 5711 Scarborough Boulevard.
All right, one team that's trying, one team that's not. Let's do the one that's trying first. They are the Colts. They had a nice draft. Michael Pittman, a lot of people think, could be a theft.
Well, they're both trying, though. They're just trying for different
things.
Different goals, you know? Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor is, I just can't love a situation more than that. They have added Xavier Rhodes in free agency. Trey Burton comes over as well. DeForest Buckner was the big trade to shore up that defensive line. They have everything you need, and again, it's just an if. And if the if is simple, what is can Phillip Rivers, if he's good, they are going to be very good. I just don't know if he's got it anymore.
Yeah, it's funny because when we talked to people in when we were doing our AFC West, you know, what did they say? They said, you know, Philip was the reason why the Chargers didn't make it last year.
Yeah.
Not like one of the reasons. Like, he was reckless. And there's almost a feeling that they might not have basically no confidence that he is like going to be a changed player this year. The Colts are banking on it. That's for sure. They have Brissett behind him. I'm not sure Brissett. We've seen him, right? We've seen him with this team. That doesn't get over the top. Their roster is extremely impressive. You add in a trade DeForest Buckner, Justin Houston on the outside. You got Darius Leonard there. I mean, they have a really nice defense.
Yes, they do. And great offensive line.
Yes, I mean, elite offensive line. So I hope Paris Campbell stays healthy this year and gives them an extra home run hitter. Marlon Mack, I think people forget about just because Jonathan Taylor is there, but that 1-2 punch is going to be special behind that offensive line. And Phillip should have a lot easier throws with the threat of that run game. So I love what the Colts have. It's all going to come down to their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know that it's anything. I think it's just as simple as that. And it's interesting. That's what when I was saying that, when I initially said I thought this was the weakest division, it's because the three teams that are all contenders, I think they're all about the same. I think all of them have just incredible question marks still out there at key parts, whether it's coach in Houston, coach GM in Houston, or quarterback that I'm not sure of in Tennessee and I'm not sure of in Indy. Meantime, Jacksonville, they've done it. They're all in. They're Tank City, USA. They are going to go to the absolute bottom. I think they're so bad that I do wonder if you're Trevor Lawrence, if you'll say, boy, am I sure? Did I want to go there? Maybe I'll run it back at Clemson. And Justin, you can go down to Jacksonville and give it a go. I don't know that I'd want to be in this organization. It seems lost. It can be found in about a second and a half if they do get Trevor Lawrence and they've got a ton of draft picks to work with. But this is a mass exodus. It's everybody. It's Calais Campbell, Fournette, Yannick Ngakoue, Marquise Lee, A.J. Bouye, all gone. Nick Foles, gone. All of them gone. I mean, look at their – did you pull up their two deep?
Yes.
And just look at that.
Looking at it right now.
Who are these humans?
It's – as you say, it's going to be one of the most – how do we word it? Organic tanks of all time. With the quarterback situation, I mean,
it's really perfectly set up.
It's amazing how many commercials Gardner Minshew is on. Like, he's some, like, the fact that the dude has a mustache and the personality has gotten this guy. I mean, I'm not even hating, so please don't take it that way. I'm just saying it's amazing how it's gotten him so many promotional things, because it's not, I mean,
he's a funny kid.
That's what I'm saying. It's his personality.
Yeah, it's the personality, yeah.
He's the Barstool quarterback, is he not? Like, he's Barstool Sports' quarterback. So, to that crowd, he's, you know, a legend. And so, anyway, it's fascinating to me how I just see all these commercials with him on, even, like, NFL-sponsored ones. And I'm like, you do know he's not going to be the quarterback in a year.
That's right.
I mean... Again, right. I don't want to hate, but it's just reality, right? Like, he ain't going to be the quarterback in the year. You'll have
he
Trevor.
He was better
up there
than I remembered. I did not remember him 21-6.
Oh, he started great.
Interception.
He started great.
Yeah, he was 6-6. He was 21-6 touchdown to interception. His completion percentage around 60%. The yards an attempt is around 7 yards. So that's where you start to understand where the issues are. That he just can't drive the ball at all. But he did have a couple of magic moments.
He started great, and then he got to a point where even the team. I remember the conversation turned to should they go back to Foles when Foles got healthy. So it wasn't like he just had a death grip on it to where. But look, I mean, now, the worst-case scenario for them would be if he has that even better ratio and he's throwing the ball to Chris Conley and Chenault, who I like Chenault.
Yeah.
He was a stud at Colorado. But look at their running backs.
I mean,
Divine Azigbo, Chris Thompson, and James Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're tanking.
Yep.
The Browns did this a couple of years ago, got a Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield. So we'll see what happens here. If this is something that's going to work, does it get him Trevor Lawrence and whoever in the Stingley kid in the following draft? I don't know. I guess we'll see. Let's hit the categories on this one. Could you live here or vacation here? Indy and Jacksonville.
I'm not vacationing or living in Indianapolis. I like to visit for like functions.
It's a great convention town.
It is.
That's sort of. It's a great event town.
It is. But in regards to Jacksonville, I have only played games there. I have no recollection, and they're terrible. in the sense of it was like Maurice Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. It was a young Mercedes Lewis. I don't really know how to judge Jacksonville.
It stinks. The city stinks. The only thing that's good, it's terrible. The only thing that's good,
you have to live in the beach.
You'd have to get out to Jack's Beach. You'd have to get out to the beach, and you get out there, and then it's pretty good. Like, that's how you'd do it. You would not want to live, you know, anywhere near. It's a kind of a different town, for sure. You would not vacation there. There's no reason to. If you're going to go to Florida, there's 100 places that are better. And Indy is the premier Midwest event town.
Yes.
And that's saying something, because Chicago, you had that forever. And other cities have tried to have it. But Indy's the answer. It's the correct one. You can do anything in Indy, and they do it well. You got to give them credit for that. I couldn't live there, and there's no reason to vacation there. Do you like the quarterback situations here?
Well, no, I don't like Jacksonville's at all. Although for what they're trying to accomplish,
it's kind of perfect.
What it is. What's the goal? What's the end game? I will say I do like Phillip Rivers. I don't love it because I don't have the exact confidence that he is what we remember. But yep. I do like the idea that there's a ton of upside there of if Phillip can get back to somewhat of what he was. Boy, you got something with that roster. So I think it works for them. I'll say like.
I'm actually more trepidatious about Indy because I think I know exactly what Jacksonville is doing, and I think it works perfectly. Minshew's the perfect cover for what they're trying to get accomplished, and they're going to end up with Lawrence more than likely than not.
The fact that you snuck trepidatious in there.
You like that? Super Bowl playoff ascending road to nowhere or tank.
Okay, so for Indy, you're thinking Super Bowl because you don't go get Phillip Rivers at the age that he is unless you really think you have a chance at a Super Bowl. Yeah. That's not a playoffs or a build. That's a Super Bowl. You have a Super Bowl roster.
If they had Andrew Luck, you'd say they should go win the Super Bowl. Andrew Luck's still on this team, they should go win the Super Bowl.
They might be the favorite over the Chiefs, to be honest.
Them and the Chiefs, yeah.
Just the what
if. Think about that what if. If he were still there, you'd say that's a Super Bowl team.
Of course. And Jacksonville, my gosh, tank.
Tank. Yeah.
Most obvious tank.
It's probably playoff and tank is the way that those would be viewed.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Jim Aiello covers this division. He does it primarily for the Colts at the Indy Star. We will have him join us next for some perspective. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destiny. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you. Let's head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Jim Aiello joins us, covers the Colts for the Indy Star. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time. Let's dive right in on the team you cover, primarily, of course, being the Colts. We just were talking about them, and you say, boy, if Andrew Luck's on this team, that's a Super Bowl contender. Go win the Super Bowl. You look at the roster. At least seems like it has everything to it. So then you go, well, what can Phillip Rivers be? What can he be, as you've seen him this camp?
So Phillip Rivers can be the kind of the steady Eddie. I think what they're hoping for Phillip Rivers to be is not the guy who has to go win them games like Andrew Luck used to have to do. The defense is much improved. They got a lot of young talent there. They have a ton of weapons around him on the offense. Most importantly, and this is what Frank Reich loves to do, is run the ball. Around here they say run the damn ball. They wear hats and t-shirts with it. And they have, you know, Quentin Nelson, Anthony Costanzo, Ryan Kelly. It's a star-studded offensive line. They have Marlon Mack, who was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. They drafted Jonathan Taylor, who is an incredible college running back. This team wants to run for 2,000, maybe 2,500 yards this year. So I think with Phillip Rivers, they're going to say, we're going to need you to make some plays, but you don't have to be the guy who tries to go win games.
Jim, do you assume, are the Titans the team that everyone's chasing? I mean, it's weird because the Texans have had success too, but you kind of feel like, what's the feeling around the division with Bill O'Brien as the head coach? It just seems, and GM, it just seems like things are constantly in a state of what the heck is going on in Houston to where you really can't put any belief in them. Are the Titans the class of the South, or is it open between the three?
Yeah, the South is weird. It's no one wants to play in Jacksonville.
In Houston, I think Bill O'Brien is bad GM, good coach, because that team everybody seems to kind of laugh at the Texans, and every year they find a way into the playoffs, and I think that has a lot to do with Deshaun Watson. But to answer your question, I believe the Titans are the class of the division and the team that the Colts are chasing. This is the team that thrived in the second half of the year once Ryan Tannehill got back. They still have their power run game. They still have a really good young defense, too. I think that's the team everybody's chasing. And so, yeah, I always want to bet on the team with the best quarterback, and to me that's Deshaun Watson and the Texans. But you look around at who he's throwing to, and you think, okay, I like Brandon Cooks, I like Will Fuller, but they've never really been able to stay healthy. And so if by week six both those guys are out, no DeAndre Hopkins anymore, he's going to have to do everything himself. And is David Johnson the same running back he used to be in Arizona? I don't know. I don't think so. So if Houston, to me, falls off when injuries start to catch up to him, J.J. Watt's another guy that just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Meanwhile, in Tennessee, they're just a really smart, well-coached football team. They're going to be able to grind teams out with Derrick Henry. I think that's the team the Colts are chasing.
So it's interesting, Jim. We do this thing, Super Bowl playoff, road to nowhere, tank. Where are you? You've got one team in this division that very clearly is a tank. The other three, are the Colts view themselves as a playoff contender? I'm sure. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. And the other two probably view themselves as Super Bowl contender. Do these teams, from your perspective, view themselves in a way that matches up with their talent level?
Well, Houston, no. If they think they see themselves as a Super Bowl contender, I don't think that's where they're at. Now, I know they pushed Kansas City in the playoffs last year, but I think that kind of course corrected itself in the second half of that game. Tennessee, I think, definitely thinks sees themselves as a Super Bowl contender, and I think that's fair. But I think any team in the AFC that thinks they're a Super Bowl contender outside of Baltimore or Kansas City might be fooling themselves. That's clearly the class of the conference. I don't see anyone beating Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in the playoffs this year. I know Lamar Jackson struggled last season, but I think he's going to take a step forward, especially in the passing game this year. So, to me, any team that is not the Ravens, that's not the Chiefs, probably doesn't reasonably have Super Bowl aspirations in the AFC unless one of those two quarterbacks gets hurt.
So, I'm looking at the rosters here, Jim, and I'll put it this way: do you believe in Ryan Tannehill as much as the Titans do?
As much as the Titans do is a tough question.
Easy when it's not your money, right?
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't quite pay him what they did, but I understand why they did. I mean, they went through all those years with Mariota, and it just never worked. But, man, he just, in the play-action game, he was untouchable last year. And, again, Derrick Henry, I think people forget how good Derrick Henry is, and this is a weird thing to say, but he's not a bad pass catcher. You at least have to respect it. And they take so much advantage in the play action. They can obviously go deep to A.J. Brown. But they're able to throw those devastating screens at Derrick Henry. And that guy gains any head of speed. It's pretty much over. So I like what Tannehill does. It's kind of, you know, it's a little bit like what we're talking about with Rivers. They're not going to ask him to go win games most of the time. They're just going to ask him to keep control of the ball, don't make any mistakes, and hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. And if he can do that well and occasionally take some deep shots on play action, they're going to be just fine.
Jim Aiello joining us, Colts insider for Indy Star Sports. Check him out for all things Colts. And when I think Colts, I think about Malik Hooker, and he was a comet here. I mean, he was so dynamite here that one year and was as special as anybody we've had. He's been injury-riddled over there. There were rumors about possibly a trade, I think even Cleveland. I mean, there was a lot of scuttlebutt about Cleveland for one of the tight ends. How's Malik looked? What's obviously a make or break for him this year there?
Yeah, so they decided not to pick up his fifth-year option, that hurt Malik. He was not happy about it. I mean, he wants to be here in Indianapolis, and the Colts like him. I mean, there's nothing not to like about Malik Hooker. He's a really good guy. He's a great interview. I've enjoyed covering him for the past couple of years, but he just hasn't showed up. So one of the things that I thought was interesting last year was the Jaguars, at the end of the year, this is a team that was doing nothing. Gardner Minshew had very little weapons, yet he almost threw for 300 yards against the Colts last year in the final game of the season. Malik Hooker played every snap and didn't show up in the box score. Nothing. No tackles, no passes defended, nothing. So what happens to Malik Hooker sometimes is that he just disappears. We all know he has that crazy big play ability, the ball hawking. In the first game of the year, he intercepted a Phillip Rivers pass when he was still with the Chargers. He came out of nowhere and grabbed it with one hand. You're like, man, that's the guy he can beat. We all saw that at Ohio State. But that guy just hasn't shown up consistently enough. And like you said, he's been playing through some injuries. And the biggest reason why they didn't pick up that option, which really wasn't that much money, I think it would have been around $7 or $8 million, and it's not even guaranteed. Which is because he hasn't played 16 games yet. So what they want from him is just to stay healthy for an entire season and not disappear. He had a pretty good first half of the season, pretty much disappeared in the second half. Now, Chris Ballard talked to the media the other day. He said Malik Hooker is having the best camp he's seen him have. He's been a total pro about handling, not having the option picked up, but he needs to have a good year.
Interesting. Jim, I'll get you out of here on this one. Has anyone heard from Andrew Luck? Is that ship completely sailed? Like, where is he? Like, is there any thought in the back of anyone's head over there that, boy, if he ever came back, we're ready?
So Chris Ballard has tried his best to put all those to bed. Combined this year, he said Chris Ballard. He said Andrew Luck is retired. We all need to accept that. Now, I'll make a small joke here and say that the person he was really talking to was his boss, team owner Jim Irsay, who still every once in a while likes to bring up Andrew Luck. And it's hard to blame him. The guy, I mean, he really thought when he drafted Andrew Luck, he had drafted a guy that was going to lead him to multiple Super Bowls. And, you know, the guy had all the talent in the world, was probably going to win an MVP at one point in his career, and then quit at, you know, age 30. And again, you don't blame him for it. You understand why. But no, he's happy being a father right now. And yeah, I think football is over for Andrew Luck. I don't think anybody else in Indianapolis, like I said, outside maybe the owner, is hoping that Andrew Luck comes back or believes that Andrew Luck might even come back.
Wow. Is he in Indy? Do you know where he is?
Yeah, I think he lives here. He just had a baby.
That's amazing.
No, he loves Indianapolis. That was one of the things he said when he retired was he loves Indiana, loves being a Hoosier. That was one of the things that he thought he was going to stay around a little bit. But I don't think, occasionally he'll pop up on Twitter. He's still got his book club, I think, but not very often. He's not very active on social media, as everybody knows. He's not a very technology savvy guy on purpose. He had the flip phone for years, which endeared him to many here. He's just happy being a father right now, it seems like.
It's amazing. God bless him. Jim, thanks so much for your time and the perspective.
Thanks for having me is what I meant to say.
All good. Yeah, very good. Good information out of Jim Aiello out of the Indy Star.
He's the world's most interesting man.
It's a 30
Andrew
for 30.
Luck.
Like to
Book
just
club.
In the middle
I
of preseason.
In Indy.
Week three,
I love Indy.
And he stays in Indy? Like, does he just show up driving around downtown on a bird? Like, I don't. It's just a crazy thing.
You know what he does?
Thing.
I bet he shows up to games and actually pays for the tickets and doesn't ask the Colts for tickets.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sure, watches like a normal fan with a ball cap on.
So strange, isn't it? It's amazing to just disappear, to have somebody that talented just disappear. It's wild. Thing or not a thing up next, Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And boating in for chops. Time for a little thing or not a thing. Go boat.
Bishop and Laurinaitis, thing or not a thing.
All right, first up, Tennessee had to cancel a scrimmage practice on Saturday due to having 44 players out because of COVID-19, positive COVID-19 tests and contact tracing. Thing or not a thing?
I mean, this is it, right? This is what you fear. Look, we've said from Jump Street, you're going to have to play with it. So, you know, you're going to play a week. You may miss 2 weeks, and you play another week, and that's the way it's going to go. This will be how it goes in major college football.
Yeah, so that's how you get the herd immunity on the team real quick. You just get 44. Boom.
If that works.
I don't know. I'm joking, but no, it's a serious issue. You honestly hope that all 44 have a normal recovery, right? No myocarditis in any of those players, that they're able to be okay. This is a fear of every team, every administrator right now. Is something bad happening to one of the 44?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I heard that herd immunity for all of us won't be even close to possible till 2021, mid to late 21. Just to give
Great.
You a little, an idea.
Fantastic.
Yeah, even with a vaccine. Maybe with the vaccine. But anyway, go Bucks.
Two-parter here. LeBron James passed Ray Allen on Sunday night to move to second all-time for the most three-pointers made in NBA playoffs history. And he also tied Derek Fisher for the most wins by a player in NBA history in the playoffs with 161 wins. Thing or not a thing?
It's all a thing. I mean, he's going to go down as a top three player in the history of the game, and he's still awesome to watch. It was great watching him over the weekend again tonight. He's still just an incredible athletic. He's an athletic marvel. I don't even know how to put him into perspective at his age, still doing what he's doing.
The play he made on the block on Russ, mm-hmm. and then to go right back down the court and get that layup. That he, anyway, just unreal. He is a joy to watch. There are still parts of his game that are frustrating. And I think some of it might just be the confusion of that you really feel like he's like a video game, that he should be able just to do everything all the time. But, man, the consistency, some of the teams that he's dragged with him to the finals, the amount of playoff games he's played, just truly, I mean, heck, well, I'll be telling the girls about him, you know, because they're not going to be able to enjoy him. I'll be telling their kids about him and how great he was.
The Big 12 announced on Friday their thresholds for game cancellations this fall. Teams must have a minimum of 53 players available, including 7 offensive linemen, 4 interior defensive linemen, and 1 quarterback. Thing or not a thing?
No, it's a big thing. The 1 QB I find interesting.
You don't need to have a quarterback. You can just run Wildcat all the time.
I feel like you'd need a minimum of 2 of those. I mean, they're basically copying the NFL's 53. I just don't. To me, you'd have to have 2. I don't understand how you go into a game with just 1 quarterback.
Yeah, it's... I'll tell you, it's... Look, this is a dicey situation when you get to this, and at least there's a standard. I'm not even sure if the Big 12 all has the same testing standards, but you know, at least for this, they're on point. Look, you can't play games without 7 offensive linemen. Is, I mean, if you're gonna have just 1 quarterback, why don't you just say, you know, 6 or 5? I don't know. The numbers are odd, but regardless, at least there's a standard for all the teams to go by.
The Chargers and wide receiver Keenan Allen agreed to a 4-year, $80 million contract extension on Saturday. The average annual salary of $20 million per year puts him second in the league behind only Julio Jones. Thing or not a thing?
It seems like it's hard for me to imagine he's worth that, but I'm proud of him. I'm never going to argue about somebody's money. It seems like a lot of money for him. He's a nice, nice player. He's a really, really good receiver. Is he the second best receiver in the league? No, I don't think so. But he's nice. And, again, it goes back to their decision and going to Tyrod Taylor. Because everything else on their roster, certainly before the James injury, was let's go win it.
Yeah. So I'm sure some of this has to do with timing of the deal that gets him that much. But I know a lot of people respect the heck out of Keenan Allen as one of the best. Even when I was, you know, toward the end of my career and overlapped a few years, people thought that he was one of the best in the league and just kind of forgotten about being out west in San Diego at that time and then now in L.A. It's a lot to give somebody, period, let alone somebody who's dealt with, you know, health issues. But and really from a franchise, that's not historically one that just dish out tons of cash to players. You know, good for him, though. You know, good for him. And you hope that he's able to stay healthy and look, they have a nice receiving core, and I think K.J. Hill is going to be a stud out there.
Last one here. Cowboys pass rusher Randy Gregory has officially been reinstated by the NFL, and he will be eligible to play beginning Week 7 for Dallas against the Washington football team. Thing or not a thing?
He's a bad guy, man.
Yeah.
Bad guy.
I'm just going to say not a thing.
Just keeps getting chances and over and over and over. All right. It is NFL.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Well, game week. We're playing games in 2 days. How did the league get to this point where it's all possible? We get into that. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. We'll hear from Zach Taylor on their quarterbacks. It's all coming up in the final hour here. Bishman Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
One is upside down on an inversion table. The other one's wearing a tank top without pants.
Ready for your workout?
Radio doesn't get any better than this.
You nasty.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And The Fan would like you to know full prices for suckers. Head to 971thefan.com. Click the Cool Stuff tab and check out Fan Deals. Our partners provide us with gift cards and experiences at rock bottom prices. Our featured deal this week is $50 worth of gift certificates at Granddad's Pizza and Pub for only $25. Head to 971thefan.com on Friday morning. Click on Cool Stuff and secure your Fan Deal now. We asked this. I'm going to get to the NFL. It's NFL game week, and there's a lot of stories to get to on that. But I just see this in the last 20 minutes or so that the Speaker of the Michigan House says the Big Ten should reverse their decision and play football. So it's all in at this point in terms of getting that done. What's your gut feeling as we sit right now?
With the Big Ten?
Yeah, on revisiting it. Do you think that this weekend...
I think they'll play it in November. I just don't think October 10th is happening. But I hope I'm wrong. But I'm more like with Doug. I think that they want to continue to sit and wait and see what happens as the big boys kick off and there's more and more games and then make a decision. So if that puts them at the 19th of this month, you know, like Clemson's playing, what, Saturday? Some are playing next weekend. You start seeing, like, you get through next weekend and then they can evaluate and be like, okay, there's been no outbreaks, you know, or no more cancellations or whatever. Maybe we can then try to put something together. But
what I think is interesting is the Big Ten had an opportunity. Clearly, they misjudged their influence and the intestinal fortitude of the rest of the leagues. But the Big Ten thought that they could say, we're out, follow us, let's all do it together. And the only one that followed was the Pac-12. I think that goes without saying. The other thing that I think is an incredible misstep on this is the Big Ten had a chance to lead and show why. Like, I think if they just would have gone that first day and said, this is why we're not playing. I mean, they botched the whole thing. But if they would have come out and said, this is why we're not playing, it's not safe. And here's why it's not safe. These are the studies we're going off of. And if they would have been out every week, every time that there was another flare-up and say, see, this is why we're not. See, Tennessee, 44 kids either tested positive or contact trace, and they can't even practice. This is why we're not practicing, because we can't do it. It's too difficult. That's would have been the real way to lead this thing if you believed in it, right?
Yeah.
And instead, it seems like a bunch of half measures and wading back in. And I think what Doug pointed out to us in the first hour, which we've talked about, is, you know, Barry Alvarez leading this return to play committee. And what is the time frame on that? And what are the hurdles? What is keeping them from playing? And I still think it's liability and amateurism are chief among the things that are keeping them from playing at this point. I don't think anything's changed on that front.
Yeah, it's the fear of that. You know, ultimately, it's the fear of the liability and the fear of a lawsuit, amateurism, that whole deal that I think is really holding them back. If there was concrete science that that would have been strong for you to come out with and say, see, this is what. And so every time there would be an outbreak, you could say, see, these were the things that we were seeing. This is the things that we reported to you, you know, that we gave to you, the information that we used. You're just not seeing any of that. And we haven't seen that from them. And so they've been arrogant all along, by the way. I mean, the arrogance started when we had the alternate schedule or the new schedule release, you know, and they were arrogant enough to be like, you know what? Most teams have talked about starting later to gather more information. The SEC had basically announced that they didn't announce their schedule, but they said that they were going to start end of September. The Big Ten comes out and says, nope, September 3rd. And we're going to put Ohio State out there in Illinois the Thursday. We're going to open it up with our big dog. And kind of chesty in that way. Like, well, why would the
Very
Big Ten?
Much.
So the information then told you we can play earlier than the other conferences. And then by that next Monday, that was a Wednesday, by that Monday, it was
all gone.
It was gone until January. I mean, that's not even... So it's important to say, like, so when I hear the Return the Play Committee, my gut instinct gets excited because I think, yes, October 10th is possible. But Return the Play could be in January. November,
absolutely.
December. It could be
March.
Be weighing. His job right now is to evaluate what are our risks and what would it take? How long will we need, Barry, do you think, to get things going? Can we do it by October 10th realistically? If we can't do it with all 14, do we do it anyway? That's what he's going to try to put together. Okay, what's it look like for November, Barry? What's it look like for, you know, through the winter? Can we do the dome thing? Is that viable? What about January? What's the latest we can possibly go, Barry? You know, those are the questions that they're going to ask. So they're going to look at all these options. And the interesting thing to me, and we'll never know because obviously their transparency is non-existent, so we won't get a look inside, but I would love to see a look inside. Then put up on a board a giant, nice little PowerPoint of, okay, Kevin, what I've discovered is that if we go October 10th, six teams can go. Six teams feel like they have the protocols and they're ready and that things are the way they are. They can go. The rest of the league doesn't think they can. As far as November after Thanksgiving, I think we have 12 teams that feel comfortable with that. You know, maybe 11, 10 that are comfortable with that. But everybody's on board for January. Okay, what's the response then? Is it, okay, let the six go October 10th? Is it, all right, January it is, because all 14 are comfortable with that? You know, what is their threshold? We have no idea, and we won't know either way. But my gut says that if you polled the teams, there would be probably 6 to 8 ready to go by October 10th. But would the Big Ten say that's enough or no?
Would those 6 or 8 teams that be ready to go October 10th, would they feel comfortable breaking away from the league if the rest of the league didn't want it? Right? What happens
not all
with
six.
The money? What happens with the television contracts? What happens with all of that? Like, are you willing to have an outright, you know, breakup of the conference in an effort to play football?
And I would
think
not,
because even as rich as we are, we still have debt on buildings.
Yes.
That has to be paid down, and television money pays those debts.
So here's the thing that I would think. I would think that if anyone was going to do it, we would do it. So if we don't do it, nobody is. Nebraska would leave with the idea of going back to the Big 12.
Jeez.
And Iowa sure as hell isn't doing it.
By the way, real quickly, how real did that... I mean, Sean Callan, we had him on last week, he was like ready to go.
Like, oh, yeah.
Those discussions are taking place.
Oh, yeah.
That they wouldn't mind going back and bring it, and Texas A&M goes back with them, and the Big 12 gets kind of reformed.
I don't think they mind at all. I mean, think about it.
I think they would jump if the money could somehow do it.
You get somehow get back into Texas and try to recruit that area.
You get your rivalry with Oklahoma back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got all of those appeals for them. The money, though, is what keeps it.
Of course. And Iowa's not doing anything on their own. The only reason why we could is that I think we're the only school that has the following to where you could say, you know what? We want to have a independent, you know, TV contract like Notre Dame does normally. You know what I mean? Like, we might have that weight. I don't know. I'm not in those meetings.
Here's the thing, just to dispel
that really
quickly.
I think that's getting harder and harder. That thing's getting harder and harder to do. Like, Notre Dame's had that.
Yeah.
But,
buddy, we've got 117 sports or something thereabouts. Who are they going to play?
Exactly. That's where it gets tricky.
That's where it's tough. Yeah, sure. Football. Okay, we can do an independent schedule. You could probably come up with some sort of deal with the Big 12 where you play, you know, some of their teams. I mean, they would probably like that, similar to the deal Notre Dame has with the ACC. But you're gonna give up the Ohio State Michigan game?
No, you're not.
I mean, come on, you're not giving those things
up.
So it's just nonsensical. That was never gonna happen. It's not realistic,
no.
It's nonsense. Here's the deal, though. I do think that one thing we know for sure from the NHL, from the NBA, and even Major League Baseball, who weathered their early storms, learned from it, and has adapted. Baseball's been going off without a hitch now for a couple of weeks, several weeks now. It's been going, and they've been fine. They had the early hitches, but then they sorted things out with their travel and got it going right. The NFL is going to do all of those things right. They're going to travel right. I've talked to you guys about this. The NFL normally, and I just know this from the Browns' perspective, my guess is it's the same for all the teams in the league. The Browns usually travel about 170 people for road games. They're going to travel 70 this time.
Yeah.
70 people. That's ownership, front office, all of it. That's it. I mean, that's 70 people that are going to travel. So most of the NFL is doing that. The NFL, if they can, is going to travel day of games. Okay. The NFL is all going to stay in the same hotels. They're all going to use the same transportation. The reason they're going to do that is because they're going to pass stringent protocols from a safety standpoint with specific people. They're taking their bubbles on the road. That's what the NFL is doing, and they are committed to that. And so if you can do that, and maybe that's why the Big Ten is focused on this November slate, because you could dang near bubble it November through January. You could almost do it. You could almost play 7 or 8 games that ends at the end of January. Most of that time the students aren't on campus. It could be as close to a bubble as you could get. That's probably why the momentum for that time of year is there. Now, I don't have any interest in it, but I'd watch it, of course. But, I mean, I do wonder if that's what they're thinking is, hey, look what the NFL's doing here. We could do that. We wouldn't have to deal with the student population. They wouldn't be on campus anyway for much of that time. A lot of campuses are going to send students home before Thanksgiving for the semesters anyway. So, even whoever is on campus, I do wonder if that's what they're thinking is with the end of November.
I think one of the hard things, though, is you're going to have to get on board with all of those stadiums, those domes, and make sure those NFL teams are okay with you using them. Like, Vikings are going to be a playoff team. They're going to be playing in January.
Colts think Indy, they're going to be a playoff team.
It's going to be a playoff team. Detroit could be. So it's
probably. I would tell you probably no would be the answer to that.
Right. So
you're probably going to have to play at away. You have to play at home sites. You have to play in the winter is what you'd have to do. I don't think you can. I don't think those domes are going to be available. The domes might be available once you get.
You don't want to play up in Minneapolis.
I know.
In January.
You don't want to play here in early January. You don't want to play here outside in early January, let alone Minneapolis. Forget it. Are you kidding?
Do you remember how cold that game was with the Seahawks and Vikings? Yeah,
I remember how cold it was when I was there outdoors at their new stadium and the air temp was minus 11. I remember that. And I remember not being able to feel my face. So I can't imagine
what
that was like. So, yeah, there's a lot of hurdles to all of this, but the bubble is the thing that works, and that might be your best chance to do it would be at that time. The lengths the NFL is going and has gone, the NFL has really next to nobody testing positive. There's been a couple, two or three, almost nobody since this whole thing got started. It's taken an incredible buy-in from the players, and it's taken incredibly a hard stand from ownership in terms of penalty if you do test positive. We haven't played a game yet. So what? Right now they're in camp every day, and that's the monotony. Right now everybody has hope. What happens in 7 weeks if you're on a bad team?
Yeah.
If you're on Jacksonville and you're 0-8, and somebody goes, man, let's go to Jack's Beach, let's go have a good time. Are you going to be the one that says, no, I'm good, I'm going to stay in?
It's going to take remarkable discipline out of these guys as the years go on for those that lose. For those guys that are on losing teams, it's going to take remarkable discipline.
Yeah. Because they have bubbles and their facilities are bubbled.
Yep.
The facilities are basically just for players right now. Players and coaches. That's it. Nobody else can even go in them. That's where they're at. And it's going to be that way through the entire season. That's how it's going to go. Beyond that, the games, I mean, you saw the news from DeWine last week about the amount of people who could be at games, around 6,000 people could be at a game. I want to say the Browns host the Bengals in 2 weeks on a Thursday, or a week from Thursday, that they can have around 6,000 people there as kind of an early rollout. They were hoping for a little more, but that's what it's going to look like, around 6,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's what it's going to look like. There's not going to be any tailgating. There's not going to be any of that stuff.
That's the governor trying to say, hey, you know what? We'll give you a little bit. We'll see how you handle it.
Give you a little rope, and let's see how you handle it. But honestly, this is the real thing, folks, to wrap your head around from the NFL. Really, the only thing that matters is delivering to television.
Oh, that's gosh, it. Yeah.
It's not fans in the stands. It's not local radio rights. It's not local TV rights. It's not partnerships in the individual markets. It's we have huge television partners. We're the only show in town from a live sports, live entertainment prospect by the time you get to the middle of October, and we will deliver this to you, and here's how we're going to do it. And their plan is pretty damn comprehensive in terms of delivering it. Do I think the NFL will play 16-game season? Yeah, I do. I think they will. Do I think there will be some outbreaks? I do, but I think you're going to have to play through them. I think what Philly did was pretty smart. Josh McCown's on their roster, on their practice squad. He's going to stay in Texas.
I saw that.
He's staying in Texas. So if they have an outbreak, all of a sudden they can fly him in and he can play.
That's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, he's got the best. I mean, 12,000 a week for that, he's got the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch some Zoom calls.
Yeah.
See, you ought to do that. Be a Zoom emergency middle linebacker. Just be on a practice squad.
No,
you need me.
I don't want that. I don't want that life.
I know you don't want.
No,
it.
I'm
pretty amazing
you,
just to go.
When I watch
to Zoom
TV
calls.
And I don't even watch tackles anymore, I literally just sit there with my jaw dropped. Wince. Like, how do I even used to do that? Body would fall apart trying to tackle anybody.
There isn't going to be a secondary market though in guys who are retired. Going, hey, I could do that. I'll do some Zoom calls and be on a practice squad for.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Season and not even have to go to the facility? I can do that. I can do some Zoom calls for that cash.
Yeah.
So the NFL doing everything they can to deliver a season. The Cleveland Browns have done everything they can to deliver a team around Baker Mayfield for him to thrive. Will he? We get into that discussion coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
On air, online, on the app. New methods of consumption, same great radio taste. Take us with you everywhere. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And guys, it's time. Time to get back in shape, especially if you've been slacking since March. Maybe your health has suffered. Maybe you've become more irritable. Maybe you've gained weight. These are all symptoms of low testosterone, and Affinity Whole Health can help you. When I first started with Affinity, it was amazing. Everything improved. If you stick to their plan, listen, you'll shed body fat, you'll increase lean muscle mass, you'll feel great, and just all around be a better version of you. Learn how you can feel amazing, live better, and get your free doctor consult at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
Rob Stevens on Twitter asks us, is there a chance to play actual games inside the Woody Hayes in January? If we don't need bleachers and no fans, then why not? Is it big enough?
No, not for TV.
Oh, there you go.
You're making your money on television, so you need to have television angles. The networks are going to have to say where the games are played. I understand the thinking, and it's not a terrible
thought. It's a full 100 in there, though, right? Is there enough room with the walls even? Like, is that safe?
Probably, but the lighting is just not the lighting is.
That was an example of they built that place. And, you know, it's been a while, and you understand, it's just so dingy. They've done the best they can to lighten it up, but there just are no, like, they should have done a wall of windows, you know, looking at the stadium is what they should have done
nice.
There.
Would have been really nice. Really highlight the gray in the winter.
Well, at least you could have, I mean, from there, you could probably see the top of the stadium if it was all windows, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
should
probably.
Be able to, maybe.
Yeah. Trying to think. I mean, if it was all windows, but I mean
Rutgers claims that you can see New York City from the top of their stadium, but you can't. But if you went to their facility, you would think that you could.
Yeah, I realize we don't have the ability to have a wall of windows that'll let you see like Michigan, like Northwestern does. But we have other things that they don't.
That
have.
Is, so yeah, that is. Gosh,
take advantage of it.
That's a huge win.
The amount of pressure that is on Baker Mayfield is pretty real. It was coming out of a rookie year where all of the juice and buzz that you're hearing about Kyler Murray was about Baker a year ago. He was the fourth pick to win the MVP. I mean, that's what he was. He was that's what people thought he was going to be. The Browns had a very trendy pick to win the Super Bowl, and it all fell apart. And a lot
fast.
Of it is
really fast. Life came at them fast last week.
Life came
last year.
Very fast. They
week
were
week one.
It was known pretty quick into that season, just the lack of organization and just look. Freddie Kitchens is a phenomenal human being. He just is not somebody who was meant to be the head coach of an NFL team. He just put way too much on his plate. He was trying to call plays, be a head coach. He'd never done any of it. He was buddies with Baker. The coordinators were buddies, and they needed Baker to be self-policing, and he didn't self-police, and so it all went to hell in a hurry. And so then everything that was done up there this offseason was to put him in a position to succeed. With this offense takes it, a lot of the pressure off of him. It's going to be and explain for the people before I even go any further why this offense is so quarterback friendly despite the fact that it's run heavy.
Well, it opens up the windows. I mean, when the linebackers, especially safeties, if you have to respect the ground game and the stretch footwork and the angles that they put you on, you have to get there. Like as a linebacker, you have to beat the lineman to that spot. Because if you don't, then you're behind and it's going to be a big gain. But if you overreact, then that window to the tight end right behind, you know, and they're probably going to go with a lot of 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, it's going to be wide open. So if your reads aren't pure every single play, there's a big run or a big pass in there. And it just stresses you because everything looks identical. The footwork of the linemen, of the backs, they look identical, whether it's run, pass. So it puts a lot of pressure on those who have to read run, pass really early in the down to figure out, okay, what do I got here? And then it should make really quick decision throws for Baker, which is what he's really good at. So, you know, fake the Chubb, get your head around, boom. You know, is it Joku? Is it Hooper? Who is it? Who am I throwing it to? You know, is it Odell? And then every once in a while where defenses think, oh, it's just a play action, quick pop again, you know, quick play action, whatever. Then you get the play action deep overs. Oh, protection's great. Let me hit Odell, you know, on the fake quarter post and, you know, try to throw the long ball here because the safety took two steps up and he has no chance. So it makes it easier because, you know, everything is going to depend on how the ground game goes. Now, the stressful thing will be for Baker is there will be games where the ground game isn't going. and then what's it look like, right? But for the majority of the time, when you got to buy like got back like Chubb and the line that they do, the ground game will work.
If Chubb and Hunt.
Yes, it's going to be very important for them, though, to keep games within a score. Because if you ever get down a couple scores, it's hard to stay patient with that system. And then to see what Stefanski's offense looks like when he can't rely on the run. We don't know with Bake when it's just pure drop back and teams can then, tee off.
Yeah, I think if you think about who they have on their roster and the upgrades if they've made offensively, defensively they got questioned and hit hard by injuries in camp, obviously. But if you think about who they have on their roster, there's no reason for them not to be a prolific offense. They should be a top 10 offense in the league based on who they have. It's about Baker being what he was as a rookie in order for that to manifest. Here's Coach Stefanski on if they're ready and trying to get this team ready for the Ravens this week.
You know, I get so wrapped up in the week and in the process. You know, it's hard for me to look too far ahead and too far behind. So I think I like where we are right now. Just got off this practice field. The guys worked pretty hard inside, and then we just got to dive into our preparations.
I think one thing that I witnessed myself up there was at early camp, there was a lot of red flags in the passing game. Like, just stuff was being missed, especially to the left side of the field, just being missed. And then in the last week, it started to come along. And you started to see the consistency that you wanted to out of your quarterback. They play, and we're going to get to the Bengals here in a second and just get kind of set the week for them up. They play, and I think it's as tough as any division. I think when you think about Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you got two teams. To me, it matches up with the NFC West and NFC South. There's two teams that should win the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh thinks it can win the Super Bowl with Ben back. Obviously, Baltimore thinks that they can win the Super Bowl. So you got two Super Bowl contenders in a division, and the Browns are just trying to get to the playoffs. And the question is, can you do that in a division that has those two teams? And you can if he is what he was the second half of his rookie year. You can. If he's that efficient,
yeah,
you can. And the other thing I would tell you is they have two A-plus running backs, not one. They have two. And it's I think, folks, and if you still haven't drafted your fantasy, it's going to be pretty close to a job share. I think it's going to be 55-45 or 60-40 at best. But Kareem Hunt is going to get a lot of carries. He's an A-back. He's a lead back. They have two of them, and they're both young. And they're going to rely on them heavily, especially early in the year. I think, you know, we had the guest on talking about the Colts running, Jim Aiello talking the Colts running for 2,000 yards. I think same in Cleveland. Like, they think they're going to run for 2,500 yards. And so then, if you're Stefanski, does that keep everybody else happy? Because he's got a lot of ego to deal with.
Well, they'll be happy if they're winning. Now, will they be overjoyed? Look, here's the truth about NFL players. They want to win and contribute.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true about high school players.
Sure.
Like it's easier to go out and hang out with your friends on a Friday night, non-COVID, after a big win, if you had four catches and two touchdowns and you're the high school wide receiver versus you won by the running back getting 260 yards on the ground and you had zero catches, but you were on the winning team. Like, yeah, you're happy we won, but when you're going to the party, are you the one getting dapped up? Like, oh man, that was a heck of a win. Mm-hmm. Good game. You're like, what do you mean good game, bro? I didn't even have a catch, but yeah, I'm happy we won.
Right.
Like, that's the reality.
No,
that's human nature.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The difference is, what people have that as a pure wish of like competitiveness. Gosh, I want to contribute, but I am still happy we won, but I want to contribute. I got to find a way to, get the ball in my hands versus which ones make that bitter and selfish and let that escalate and become a cancer. And that's what you have to worry about, is that even though it's okay to have, egos and guys on your team that want to win are super competitive like that, like Odell and Jarvis, guys that are going to want to touch the ball, that's fine. But they need to also, do they have the mental maturity to say, you know what, maybe it was Chubb and Hunt this week, but in 2 weeks they might need me to have that 8-catch, 130 game, and I got to stay consistent, right? I'm going to keep blocking for them. I'm going to keep going. Like, do you have that mental maturity and toughness to keep telling yourself that so that you don't get bitter? And then when you're bitter, guess what? It turns into one teammate. It turns into Odell telling Jarvis, like, man, like, we ain't getting the rock, bro. Like, this sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we win it, but like, I want to contribute. And you disguise it, and I want to help the team. But in reality, is it a selfish motivation of like, man, I just want to shine, blah, blah, blah. I need to get paid. So if it starts with one guy, and then it becomes another, and then another, and God forbid you lose two in a row, and now it's really a problem. See, we would have won if you just tossed me the rock, and then it can grow. That fire can grow fast. So it'll be interesting to watch.
And it'll be on Baker.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Baker and Kevin. It's Kevin Spansky primarily, but then Baker would be the secondary one that will feel the brunt of that if this doesn't work because everything's set up. Everything's set up. I'd argue they're as improved as any roster in football, but he's got to be great. Lots of pressure on him. Lots of pressure upon him. No pressure on Joe Burrow, and I think he'll benefit tremendously from that. We get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The finest distillation of sports talk in all of Ohio. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
This is pretty funny. I saw Andrew Siciliano retweet this from J.B. Long. So
sounds like I got bigger ears than I do.
Seth Walder works for ESPN on analytics, and then PFF obviously is chief among them. So these are tweets within 7 minutes apart. PFFs. Over the last 2 years, Aaron Donald's average depth of tackle against the run has been a gain of 0.17 yards, the equivalent of half a foot. That's the best in the NFL among players with more than 200 snaps versus the run. Seth Walder, 7 minutes before that, Aaron Donald is just average for a defensive tackle and run-stop win rate. I take a look at our new metrics, most surprising result. How's that possible? I mean, this is why people want to throw analytics through a window.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
are we talking about?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, firsthand, okay? My firsthand, playing behind Aaron Donald, here's what I got for you. The most frustrating as a middle linebacker that you could ever be is behind a undersized, strong, very strong, but yet undersized playmaking defensive tackle. Why? As a middle linebacker, what you want is a fat guy who's going to hold everybody and let you run free. That is not what Aaron Donald is. So, when you backdoor a guard, like if you are a three technique, okay, so a three technique is outside eye of the guard, okay? So you have center, there'd be an open gap, the A gap, guard, then on the outside eye would be Aaron Donald, okay? And then there'd be a tackle, and then there's usually an end outside of the tackle, and what's a five if there's no tight end. And let's say I have the A gap. So I'm stacked off the ball, but I'm on the outside eye of the center, to the same side as Aaron. If the ball is run to the right, the thinking is one back in the backfield, every man has their gap. So Aaron, stay, please, in that B gap on the outside eye of the guard. Just maintain leverage. Hit him, drive him back, get him back in the backfield, maintain your leverage, rip off him, make a tackle. That way, as a Mike linebacker, I can come downhill on that center, try to smoke him in the forehead and maintain my gap. Everyone does the same. Boom. No gain. Right? Tackle for loss. Aaron would then go behind the guard. So the ball's going to the right. He would just backdoor it. Boom. Swim. Now he's in my gap. And so I'm already taking a step forward to go smoke the center. And then I see Aaron in my gap. And what's that guard do? He says, well, forget that guy. I'm climbing to the linebacker. Well, now I'm cut off from Aaron's gap. And now there's nobody in that B gap. Boom. Ball hits the B gap. Big gain. So that would happen one play, right? Be a big 12-yard gain. What happened? Well, Aaron got reached. Well, play off him. I tried to play off him, but I'm lined up in the A gap. You want to get over to the B gap? I tried to play off him. Okay. The next play, Aaron, stay in your gap. All right, my bad, Jay. My bad. I'll stay in my gap. Next play, does it again. Boom. Tackle for loss. 6-yard loss. And you just want to go to the sideline and throw the tablet because you're like, because you want to cuss him out. But the thing is, you're actually saying, good play. Because it's an impact play. You know what tackles for loss are? Impact plays. You know what they get paid? Impact plays. I'll never forget this. Houston Texans, we were dominating them down in Houston. It was one of the few games that we actually owned. And we played the Texans. We ran the ball right down. Fish said it in team meetings all the way up. He goes, we're going to run right at J.J. Watt, and we're going to have success. And we did. I don't know what it was, but we had a day against them. And so anyway, they're down. And literally, it's like they're just trying to get out of the game. And they're just running the ball. And so anyway, Robert Quinn, just the whole time, is like getting encroachment penalties. He's just rushing up the field. And I'm like, Rob, will you just stop? Like, they're running the football. What are we doing? He's like, man, Jay, I don't get paid for tackles, bro. I get paid for sacks. All right. Yep. Okay. So on the one chance it's all right, do your thing. I guess I'll cover for you. Those are the conversations that happen on the field.
Right.
Those guys get paid by TFL's sacks. They don't get paid by pluses on their play sheet. I'm not okay, plus, okay. People gonna know when I got a plus or a minus? No, they won't. They'll know if I have a TFL. So I have no idea how they're judging him at Pro Football Talk. I don't.
Well, Pro Football Focus loved him. It was ESPN who said that he's very average in run defense.
I have no idea what their analytics are. What would their analytics say? There's many ways to skin a cat when it comes to even how to play linebacker, right? So under Luke Fickell and under Ohio State's system, when I was in college, our idea was, we played quarters, play aggressive but play off the defensive front. So Luke always said, be slow till it's time to be fast. Don't be in a hurry with your footwork. So pat, run, go lateral, boom. 3-yard gain, boom. That's a plus. Some coaches, yeah. A 3-yard gain making a tackle as a linebacker is a huge minus. What are you doing? Run downhill. Well, coach, the ball is going there. Why would I run through this gap? In case it cuts back. Okay, well, in case they throw, why don't I just sit back here and play past the whole play? You know, that's how I would respond. But anyway, there's multiple different ways you can play linebacker. So how is that person, in my opinion, it's my humble opinion, which take it for what you will, how does somebody who works for Pro Football Focus or for ESPN say to themselves, I'm going to judge this linebacker or corner on how they're playing when I have absolutely no information on how they are being coached to play in said locker room? How do I know that that linebacker isn't told to run through the gap there? Or to me, it looks like, where is he going? Why is he running there? Well, maybe that's what the coach told him to do. Maybe that's why he's running downhill there. Or why is he just sitting there and being so pissed? Why isn't he going anywhere? Maybe the coach is making him. I used to get this all the time. When you play cover two, and you saw Greg Williams' defense with Joe Schobert. When you play cover two in Greg Williams' defense, you are called a pass-first defender as the Mike linebacker. He wants you to line up at 7 yards deep. He wants you to sit there, clear your eyes of the number two wide receiver to passing strength, basically open your hips on the snap. If he comes down in a blocking posture, then you can turn towards the run play and go react and be ready for the ball to bounce and run the alley. But you are not expected to make a tackle from A-gap to C-gap on either side of the center. Well, unless you know that when you're judging, you're just going to think, well, he's late to read the play. He's not even reading it fast. He's late to read. That's the hard thing I have with analytics because there's so many nuances that it's hard to have a concrete grade. Now, there are things that you can – if you just want to say, hey, it's man coverage – and it's wide out versus DB and great analytics off of that. Like this wide receiver wins 80% of the time in man, or like the stuff with Mike Thomas and how he catches, you know, his catch radius and drop percent. All that is amazing data to kind of have. But unless you really know, like there's different ways to play man. Hey, on a 51Y, which is man with low inside help because there's a low hole spy defender and a middle of the field safety. Well, guess what? They're telling those guys to play man, outside shoulder, outside eye. Why? To funnel it to the two zone players that are there to help you. Well, so what if this guy says, well, in every single man coverage, you're supposed to play inside eye. He got beat inside man. That's a minus. Well, maybe it's because coach wants it that way. That's why it's hard for me to really accept the totality.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
That's a lot of great stuff. We're going to get to the Joe Burrow conversation tomorrow because it's an interesting one. So we'll get into that tomorrow. We got three things coming up next.
Coach also, 7-on-7, bro. I can get after it. I mean,
we may need it. These hash marks are really spread out. We got to run outside them. We will get to three things and Dan Patrick with an update on Big Ten football. We'll get to that coming up next as well. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
You love sports? We love sports. You love the Buckeyes? We love the Buckeyes. You love your mom? We love your mom. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Day drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, real quickly on this, Dan Patrick on his show with an update on this, and he's had that source that I think for the most part has been pretty dialed in on this whole process. He says they simply don't have enough to play. His source told him that the Michigan teams are not going to play. Illinois teams are not going to play. So that's four, Maryland and Rutgers. So a total of six are not willing to play. And there's just no consensus and growing frustration that there's no direction. And that's something that we've talked about. And so less optimistic now than he was a week ago that they'd be able to get these things out, that the medical sides are winning out on this front. So that's according to Dan Patrick. And again, I think his 12-2 is probably in line a couple of weeks ago where he said that. I think that probably was pretty close to what the truth was on it.
Yeah. Not what you want to hear, but no. I think this is the week if you're going to have any momentum for, and that's when I say that, I mean October 10th. If you have any hopes of kicking off October 10th, this is the week. And every week that goes past, then you're going to be pushed back, and then there's going to be some cutoff. Like the after Thanksgiving, there's no national title hopes then. I mean, I don't think 4-0, I mean, I don't know. It could. It'd be, you want to get really everybody up in arms, put the Buckeyes in at 4-0, and say it's just the eye test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are those four wins against? So
there's got to be. There has to be leadership in this league. There's got to be leadership in this league right now and direction. Like, it's time. It's time to put it to bed or answer it or whatever. All right, we're up against it. Three things, go.
One, two. Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
So straight downpour here yesterday. So I played all three of the boys in their favorite game on a console. So I played Beamsy in NCAA 14. He was LSU. I was Texas A&M. And he threw for 500 yards against me.
What 500 were you yards? In?
All sorts of things. So at one point, I look over to him and I go, "What? Do you even know what you're calling?" He goes, "I know I'm calling pass plays, Dad." I ended up beating him like 60-48, but it was ridiculous. So I go, "Do you even know who you're throwing to?" He goes, "Yeah." And so basically, what happened is everything is a catch. So I'm like, "What level are we playing on? What's going on?" I won, but it was close. Black Cobra, I beat him by 2 and 2K 20. I beat him by 2 points is all. I was the Celtics. He was the Lakers. And Bootsy smoked me in Super Mario Deluxe, which got me thinking, I've gotten very old on all these consoles, and these kids are just elite. Like, they've just grown up with this stuff. They don't know anything other. There's no learning curve. They're automatically great. One of these days, when you're up here, I want you to go play them in these sports so you can just see how great they are at them. It's stunning.
I will. I will warn you that I am a habitual and nasty trash talker when it comes to video games, more so than I was on the field.
You talking smack to Bootsy would be
absolutely. I mean, I do not hold back. My first thing, look, we got bunk beds delivered this morning the girls. This is good. Well, maybe it'll help. It's a huge win. We only have a 4-bedroom house. We don't have a nice giant estate like you do.
Oh, please.
But we got 4 beds, so we got the girls will share one. They've been sharing the same bed for a while. Hopefully, the bunk beds will split them up because all it turns into is like battle royale until they pass out. And we need to change that. And it will reduce the cuddle time with the kid who's on top, right? Because daddy ain't going up the stairs. So anyway, huge win for us getting the bunk beds this morning.
My first thing on Friday, James, you mentioned something about getting Jenny's ice cream for your daughter's birthday. So I had no choice but Friday go out and get ice cream. I go to DQ. They now have their fall Blizzard menu out.
Of course they do.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I have no problem with DQ. But the fact that you just used Jenny's to segue in the Dairy Queen as if they're the same.
Go on. No. I know. I completely agree with you. Jenny's is another team. But I had to do what was best available to me.
Don't sleep on a Blizzard, man.
Yeah,
Blizzard's they're delicious. I'm just saying.
Flawless.
One is, organic Ohio ingredients. The other one is,
That's right.
Who knows what it comes like.
No,
anyway,
that's
go
right.
on.
Something's
both are delicious.
One day, so whatever.
They could both be delicious.
They have their fall menu Blizzard out now. Snickerdoodle cookie dough.
Lovely.
10 out of 10. I highly recommend
it. Of course it is. We're only going to be able to do two things because we're out of time. So my final thing, I stumbled it. My wife went to bed early, so I was on the Netflix and I saw Cobra Kai and I thought, oh, let's see if this is funny. It's fantastic. It's an incredible walk down memory lane if you like The Karate Kid. And Zabka's incredible in it. Johnny Lawrence, God bless him. That's a win. I recommend it. Their episodes are short, like 23 minutes. They're fun. It's a fun one. I do recommend.
My second thing, I get a text from my wife this morning. Did you make this bed or did our 6-year-old daughter? I sent back, I did. Why? And she sends back the gif from Game of Thrones of the lady walking with the bell just going, shame. Shame.
Cersei. So Cersei.
My second thing we all saw, I imagine, Deshaun Watson got his huge new deal. And so I think it was yesterday he had a press conference, Zoom press conference.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local, Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
His family, probably about 10, 12 people, basically crashed it, just wishing him, or, you know, telling him congrats on the big new deal. It was pretty cool to see. He got really emotional about it. I know most people have probably, like, heard of Deshaun's pass. He didn't come from a whole lot, so it was really cool to see him get emotional about, you know, kind of finally making it and get that big deal. It definitely something I'd check out if you get the chance to do so.
The idea that teams passed on that kid. Mm-hmm. Shameful. Shameful. Mm-hmm. Only time for two things. We will be back with three things tomorrow, among other things, on a First Friday short week edition of the program. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon, I'm Matt Andrews. The Ohio High School Athletic Association Board of Directors announced today the election of Doug Ute as the Ohio High School's next executive director. The former superintendent of Marion, Elgin, and Newark has spent 35 years in education. NBA playoffs. Clippers rallied to beat the Nuggets last night, 113-107, 2-1 late in that Western Conference semifinal series. And in Game 5, Boston rolled Toronto 111-89. They're up 3-2. Tonight, Game 5, Eastern Semis, Heat and Bucks. Miami up 3-1. Game 3 in the Western Semis, Lakers and Rockets at 9. Series all even at 1 apiece. Labor Day college football yesterday. BYU routed Navy 55-3. Tonight in the NHL, Game 2 of the West Finals, Dallas and Vegas, with Dallas up 1-0. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.